Blog Talk Radio. If I Here they are. Psychic Extraman, your host. Sometimes that news is a little too long, isn't it? How's everybody doing? I'm your host, Psychic X Journey Man. This is my show, Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link. My co-host is here, and I got to push the button. Whoops. Heather, are you there?
I am here. You play my song.
How did you?
Oh, my gosh. I called in, and I hear my song, and I'm with Mona. Because, you know, Mona and I are doing our girl thing after work, and all of a sudden I hear you too. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. I have the biggest grin on my face walking home. People are looking at me like, what's the hell, what is she doing? What's up with her? So that was awesome. Anyway,
so,
I'm home and I will try to contain myself.
Okay. So how you doing? We got some callers and that kind of stuff, but you know, we always have a tendency to go a little bit into the idea of what we're here all about, and the idea of covering some spiritual concepts, which lately has been about the idea of changing your thinking, change your life, change your thoughts, change the outcome, and the idea of living the life you'd love to live. I think that's the biggest problem, that some people don't really can conceive that. That's the idea of changing your thinking. They don't realize the idea of everything that happens in your life is followed by intention, which is usually created by thoughts. Ask anybody who's ever, I mean, I've done this before, I've asked people flat out, in the process of creating your business and becoming, you know, a multimillionaire, or becoming a successful person in the business you're in, what was the thing that started it off? And the first thing they'll say is, it was a vision. So it's the idea of getting your visions corrected in your mind, which is the idea of changing your thinking and your perception so you can actually conceive it in your mind. And if you can see it, and if you can conceive it and see it and feel it, that it exists, and you are the vehicle that's going to bring it into reality in visible form. So what's up? What do you think?
I think if you own it, it's yours. You should know it, feel it, think it, own it. It is, it is, it is. Oh, I'm so excited. I had a friend ask me tonight, because I'm taking this trip, and she said, well, do you have money? How are you able to afford this? Is this all paid for? I was like, no, I don't even have my plane ticket paid for. I don't know how the hell I'm going to do any of this, but at the same time, I do. I know it's flowing in. I know it's happening. All I can do is choose in, and once I choose in, then I know the universe will come together and make things happen. All I have to do is... Okay. It's a little deeper than that, though. Anyway, sorry. I kind of went off on a different little tangent there. It's more manifesting.
Yeah, we were sitting there going, okay, when people usually ask me a question, right, I have this formula that I do. Like, I remember I was working for the carnival, and I sat there and said, you know, sometimes I deserve to make $400 a week. So every time someone would ask me how much I made a week, I'd always say $400, thank you. And then I'd have a little talk with myself, and it was like, so Donnie, how much money do you make? How much do you make a week? I make $400. Do you make $400? I said, yes, I make $400. And that's what I make.
Yes,
that's what I make. You know, I could have this little conversation, and then every time someone would ask me this, I would say, yes, I make $400 a week. And then I was in my mind, I'm going to kind of keep it positive, don't feed into any kind of negative thoughts of any kind. Don't even put them out there, you know, verbally or whatever. I'm just going to sit there and go with it. And then about 2 weeks later, I saw my boss out on cleaning his golf cart, and I just said, what the heck? I walked up to the guy and go, I just looked at him and said, I deserve to earn it. I said, I want $400 a week because I deserve it. He goes, really? You think so, huh? I said, yeah, I work my ass off. I do all that stuff. And he goes, well, so does everybody else. I kept my mouth shut going, hey, okay, whatever. But I didn't say anything. I just kind of like let him think about it for a minute, right? And he looked at me, and we kind of looked at each other. We knew for a fact that what he just said is not true. It was just his way of having a little control of the conversation. But I kept my mouth shut, which, you know, when you keep your mouth shut, realistically, you're full in control of the situation, the outcome. And then he finally looked at me, and he says, you know something? He said, how much do you make a week now? I said, about $350. And he goes, Really? I said, yeah, I've been making 350 for 3 years. I deserve the 400. He goes, okay. I thought about it for 2 seconds and said, okay, $400 it is. And then we walked off. That was that easy.
Well, of course.
I should have asked.
Of course.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, maybe I could have asked for 450. Yeah. You know, I was thinking, but no, seriously, that's what I was thinking about. I said, maybe I should ask for 450. So I think what I'm saying is I got what I really wanted, but at the same time, I think I should have, since I've been going over my head for so long, I think I should up the kind of grade on the whole thing. But then again, as we always say, everything happens for a reason, and everything fell into place, and I got what I wanted. And that's what it was the ideal of what was the outcome. And it was the outcome realistically. I started this year, 3 years ago. We had a thing on the show called the Help Me Get Home, Help Me Get Back to Colorado. And now it's where I live. So, you know, when you put it out there, even if I didn't get the funds through the show to actually to use to get here, it was putting it everywhere, and it was a constant reminder that's where I wanted to be at, so therefore everything fell into place just like it was supposed to. And now I live in Manitou Springs, and that was the thing, too. I remember I was looking at my book I have over your house of my goals, which is kind of funny. I was over reading it the other day. I was looking at the thing going, okay, my first goal is to go to London, to go to England, and then it was to make $10,000 a month. And then I saw another one on there where it was to get back to Colorado and to have my own shop. Well, that one's been taken care of. I got that. And then now I live, what, maybe I'm not even a block away from my freaking shop. And now I'm looking at the situation. So when we look at all these things, they all fell in place for, what, like 2 weeks of each other in some sense of the word. If I remember right, you were the one that said that. I liked how you put that, when you sit there and say, okay, when you move into the Barker house, I'll come over and we'll start writing this book.
All right.
So I was sitting there going over the thing going, but the one thing I was focusing on the most was the idea of how you said that, like it was already a done deal. And I think that's what everybody needs to do in the process of manifestation. Because I was going to sit there as we're sitting there working on a project ourselves. One thing I haven't done is I have a new journal that is just basically, was kind of funny how it came to me. It came to me as a birthday present. Okay, so it's the idea of using this journal that I got as a gift to actually create another adventure, another project we're working on, the idea of acquiring some other pieces of property to actually start a metaphysical center. That was hard to say.
Yes.
Where it's going to be something about books and it's like part of, I've already got it in my mind, too. One part is a metaphysical shop with a library, and I haven't really decided on wing chairs or a certain, they do have those, they call them L's. You know what I'm talking about?
No,
L's? They're like couches. Yeah, they're like couches, but they're really fluffy, huge. Yeah.
Oh, almost like a chaise lounge, that's what I'm picturing when you say that.
Yeah, you can stick them in a corner, and it's a good way to utilize space.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I like the idea of the beanbags or the love sacks all over the place.
Yeah, because
oh
kind of
my gosh. Okay, so I can tell you, I got an email. Sorry, this is probably way off. I'm just going to share, okay? Because this is part of our manifesting and our project.
Right.
Okay, so I got an email today.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wanting to invest in a business idea that we have. So I'm going to investigate it a little further and see if there's anything that comes to, if it really is real. Because I get a lot of scams, but I want to see if this is something that is real. If somebody's really wanting to invest or, because they also said something about a service project. Oh, I'm all about service. All about it. And you know how I wanted to use our little metaphysical shop as I wanted to be in a space of service with it. Well, that fits. It fits. So if we can find an investor, we're in. We got it.
Oh, yeah. And it's a perfect place for it, too, as well, because we got two places we can actually have. Because I was thinking more on the line of the metaphysical shop. I got that pretty much planned out. Even the ideal, not just the library with the books and stuff, but also people can sit down and not just listen to music, but they can also listen to books on CDs and that kind of stuff. So we got all that stuff going on.
Well, not only that, but I want to do classes in there, like assisting people in meditation and assisting people in light work. Or, you know, we can have other people come in with the crystal bowls, and which, by the way, I really want to go that direction with some things. The crystal bowls are incredible. You talk about vibration.
You talking about singing bowls and stuff like that?
No, I'm talking about great big bowls that are made of crystal, and they vibrate, and their sound is incredible, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Just beautiful, stunning, amazing, incredible. I get very, when I am not grounded,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just kind of flighty like I am sometimes, it gives me a headache. I get lightheaded, and I have to sit down. And so it's a matter of grounding, but it is truly about raising one's vibration. And
that's different than the singing bowls?
Yes. The singing bowls, I believe, are brass. They're brass.
They have the ones in China, too.
These are actual crystal.
Also, one thing I was thinking about doing too, as well, is have a. Okay, you got the two. Because I was thinking about a cafe, like a little small cafe kind of thing. Nothing big.
Yeah.
Nothing
like
that. Like
the hamburgers that the twins were talking about.
Well,
ooh,
it's like I was
thinking. I just said that.
Hold on. Yeah, she's really. She's talking about being ungrounded. I think she needs to go off and ground herself
in
meditation.
I tell you, I have to.
Get a couple singing bowls and just have a great time. Hold up, because it's like the idea of the situation. First and foremost, I want us to take the project itself and focus on the two persons that's actually going to utilize this thing the most. Okay.
Okay.
And a friend gave me. I was sitting there doing an investigation the other day where a lot of people are really getting into the crystals, into the salt crystals and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's like a detailing to that, too, as well. And most people, when you go in the shop, okay, most shops you have certain things going on, right? You usually have, like, they have the copper pyramids and certain things that you can be a part of, that kind of stuff. So I felt like, okay, that's kind of like one of those things that's been done over a lot of times here. And we have a lot of metaphysical shops here. So it was one of those things of really detailing it to the point where it's totally different, but really gets the point across, you know, coming from a different direction with the same outcome. But I was actually thinking about taking part of that back room on the metaphysical shop and actually turning it into a salt crystal room.
Okay.
People could it's not just that it relaxes you, but it'd be a great grounding for somebody, the ideal of focusing, and when they leave, they definitely would leave with a different perspective and looking at the world in a more calmer way. And then we'd have the little side where it's like, I think your friends are going to be into another project. That's why I'm actually doing certain things and that kind of stuff. Where I was sitting there doing a good investigation on a lot of places I've seen where they kind of have a tendency to do the tea shop, because teas are the herbal thing, and then they have a wall of nothing but herbs and stuff for the people in the Wicca and that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you'd have a room that would be still like one of the things in development in my mind. It could be a cafe, it could be a little thing like they're talking about and that kind of stuff, but it's one of those things of, with the idea of manifestation and spirituality, a lot of people are going to the vegetarian thing, so it would be like something more detailed to that kind of thing.
Well, that kind of goes in line with the whole shift, the shift in the universe, the shift in the whole world. We're all shifting towards a higher vibration, a higher enlightenment, and I know the Bible talks about the lamb and the lion lying together, and that's kind of what I get from it, is that there's so much that goes through my head at one minute, and I can't even get it all out. Anyway, I get so excited with everything that comes up. But
with the whole situation, when it plays out, too, you can actually do classes in the cottages, too, at night.
In the cottages?
It's
tiny.
Now listen to me. It's the ideal of some people like to have a little bit of individuality, so you can actually knock it down to smaller classes. At the same time, someone could be having bigger classes in the other buildings. You could also take the cafe. Hold up. You could also take the cafe at night and move all the tables and chairs out, and you'd have more space. I'm just saying, you're sitting talking about bringing more people into the situation.
The cafe will not have any tables. I'm sorry. We have space that is needed.
Right.
Here's a great freaking deal with an amazing meal, but you're going to have to take it elsewhere. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now go have fun. Go explore Manitou. Go hike the incline. Go play in the Penny Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have to go. And they can linger, of course. We're not going to rush them out, but there's no seating. I don't want any table and chairs there. That's the whole point. And we can have the seating for, the beanbags and the L, what you were talking about, the L couches or chairs or whatever. I don't know what it is that you were saying. Anyways, we can do that for the metaphysical area. But as far as the cafe goes, I don't know. It's a come and get your food and go have fun. Go explore Manitou. If you want to come in and read or listen to books or meditate, please, by all means, come in, enjoy. But our main focus is all about that, learning, enlightenment, higher vibration.
Well, that's what I was thinking about the ideal of having the tea cafe. It's more of the ideal of getting, there's places down there, most places have seating and stuff like that, which would be different than that. Because everybody comes in because of that. Most people don't come to a metaphysical shop to eat. They come to experience. And most people, when they meditate and that kind of stuff, it's good to not really be full. I guess you would put it. But people always...
That's right. We want light things, which is where the vegetarian and the vegan, that really does come into play. The world is shifting again. Here I am on this topic again. It is shifting.
Right.
We get to change our eating. We get to change how we choose to live. Our lifestyles are, every lifestyle, we're... I'm still gathering current information on this, so. But I know the shift is coming, and I know that it's already started, and we're moving forward, and things are changing. I mean, look how many grocery stores offer organic stuff, which is what we'll be doing. We'll be offering organic, and I don't think tea has any GMOs, so I don't think we really have to go with organic, but we can probably go with organic burgers. Or even black bean burgers. Oh, yummy!
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say one thing real quick. The reason we're talking about this is the idea of helping other people understand one thing. If you listen to us talk, we're basically formulating this shop to basically the way we want it. We're not doing it to make money. It's like we're not doing it to bring people in. We just know by the idea of our perception. Our same mindset, that the ideal people are looking for a place like this, so it's the ideal creating it. So the ideal, the people are already coming.
It's to be in service, and it's to assist in raising the vibration.
But we also look at the situation, like we were talking about before yesterday, remember? When we were talking about service, it doesn't just service other people. It's a cycle. So what we do for other people cycles back to us. And so we're basically creating a way. So we're learning as much as anybody else does, but we're putting ourselves in a situation where it's a group effort, we're all working together, which is the ideal of helping people establish that we're all connected. We all come from the same entity. No matter what you call that entity, we still come from the ideal, that whole situation. So spirit is spirit, and therefore what we do for others also has a message for us too as well. So it's best to have... When you manifest things, it's the idea of getting things formulated the way you want them. And what happens, I've seen a lot of times with these situations, when you start really focusing on what you want, need, desire, and how this really resonates with you and why you're doing it. Like she said, the reason we're doing this is, first and foremost, is the ideal service is what we do already on a small scale. We want to do it on a grander scale. And it's the ideal of wanting to connect with more people. So when we do that, guess what happens? We do. But I've also seen this too with Spirit and the Universe. The Universe will sit there and give you the best case scenario, not the worst, the best case scenario. Okay, so what we can't conceive in our minds, the Universe will actually bring to us anyway, and then we'll go, oh yeah, eureka.
So it goes back to trusting, though. We put out there what it is that we want, what it is that we desire, what it is that we deserve, knowing that we truly deserve this. Now, it goes mm-hmm. back to, like, in the book, The Little Soul and the Sun. No one is more special than the other. We all deserve the greatest things in life, the most wonderful things. We just have to work for them. We have to ask for them, and we have to do our part. But the universe always says, yes, 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 yes. What do you want? 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 If you're constantly wanting, you're always going to be left wanting. So with what we're wanting, with what our goal is to do with this shop is to be in service of others, to assist in the enlightenment of other spirit beings that we love and adore, which is all mankind, right?
Uh-huh.
Then it begins to happen because our goal is to serve the higher good. Okay.
So we put ourselves in a situation of service, right? Right? We put ourselves in service. And people are coming to us. Why do people come to us? Because we're special, and then we're going to sit there and reflect it back to them how special they are. So therefore, we set off as a special experience for everyone to experience, realizing, because I've said this before, I said, if you can see me, and so you walk up to me and say, you're awesome. Well, realistically, you're also looking in a mirror and looking at yourself with the awesomeness that you can actually acquire, too.
That's why somebody will tell me such beautiful things about myself, and there's times when it's very hard for me to accept those things as that compliment.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm in such gratitude for them because they're showing up as my mirror. What they see in me is what they see in them, and I get to honor them and be in gratitude mm-hmm. for what they're sharing with me. So,
we
get to assist because we get to assist others in seeing what they see in us. Yes.
I know. Isn't that great?
Do we have callers?
Yes. We also have some impatient people, too, who had to leave. Or maybe they got knocked out. I'm not sure. But if you did,
they
get knocked out and they come back. Huh?
Maybe they had to go, and it was just... It just is, and allow it to be what it is.
I know that, but, you know, one thing I said before, a lot of people said, you know something, you all want to sit there and play the game and say, hey, you're psychic, so don't get mad at me when I do. Because I've had a lot of people come to the show saying, I'm sorry, that was up being so impatient in the night. So and then I came back.
Maybe they weren't being impatient. Maybe they were having a difficult time staying on. Maybe they had something to do. Maybe they had a toddler who had an accident and they had to take care of it. It doesn't matter.
Maybe
our first
you just stop making effort people you don't even know. That's kind of weird, isn't it, guys?
No, I'm just focusing on the positive aspect that, you know, we never know what is. So just allow it to be whatever. It's all good.
Okay, I understand that point of view, but
judgment.
But there's a difference between judging and stating a fact.
Okay, Mr. Psychic, let's take our first guest.
No problem. Let's do that.
Okay.
Here we go. This is a private call. This is 1111111111. Make a wish. Are your thoughts positive? Right then and there. It says the vortex is opening up, and it's been sitting there for like 30 minutes. The person who's calling in, you're on the air right now, and what's your name, and how are you?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And your name is?
My name is Tina.
Tina, say hello to Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Tina. I'm good, honey. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. I can't complain. You guys are, like, so bubbly. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling.
Well, I'm so glad. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yes, actually, I have. I've been sitting here listening to you guys, and I couldn't agree with you guys more.
Awesome.
So, with you calling in and stuff, is there anything we can help you with? Is there a question?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Just anything general that comes to you guys.
Where are you calling from, if I may ask?
I'm actually in New Jersey.
That's what I thought. And
why?
I was just kind of curious if you've ever actually called in before.
I'm not sure. I may have.
I know in the last couple of weeks we've been getting a lot of calls from New Jersey. And I was like,
I was online in New Jersey, you know, and there was like a bunch of us online from New Jersey, but I don't think it was with you.
Okay. So, Tina, when is your birthday, if I may ask?
May 7th, 1974.
Oh, you're a Taurus.
Yes.
You're a Taurus. Yes. I like Tauruses. Of course I
yeah,
do.
Yeah, we're pretty powerful.
Yes, we are. And I'm a Taurus, too, and it's one of those situations that people have asked me, and the one thing that drives me crazy the most is people asking about compatibility, and they'll sit there and go, does a Taurus get along with a Virgo, or does a Sagittarius get along with a Gemini? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's take it back down to what's supposed to be in the first place, astrology. I think astrology is good to have in the process of making choices, but we still make that choice. And if God has actually given us dominion over this planet, I'm pretty sure he's given us dominion over the universe, too, because if you look in the Bible, it's what he says. He created the universe, and he created the earth. So, therefore, in the situation, I think when it comes to dominion, we have this authority over everything. So the planets are giving us signs to what we should do with our lives. Okay, like, for example, if Mercury's going to retrograde, we know what happens in those situations. So, therefore, it's one of the things telling us not to push issues. And if you haven't heard from anybody, then look for unexpected communication. If communication starts screwing up, try to go with the flow, you know? Because I've had a lot of people sit there and they use the GD word, and they look at their computer and they're damning everything. And they're looking at me going, how come it won't work? Well, if you're going to damn everything, what do you expect? Once you say, God bless my computer, and see what happens then, or like I've done before, if I have problems with the window popping up, I'll say, okay, angels, bring this window up for me now. And you know what's so funny about it is, every time I do that, that's exactly what happens. And it's like it goes past reality. There was an angel, which I had, I think I have this angel book. There's an angel, archangel, that actually helps people get past the reality part to make things happen quicker to give you a better perception, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't, there's so many freaking archangels. And there's two or three of them I know work with spirituality and work with people's abilities and that kind of stuff. And I know for a fact that when you start working on your abilities, and yes, everybody has abilities, but some people have a tendency to lean toward one or two or maybe even one more than most because they feel more confident with it. And other people have a tendency to take it one step further and try to utilize all their gifts. And then they have a tendency to make better choices. It doesn't mean they're better than you are. It's just the idea they've done certain things. So therefore, look at them as an example and say, maybe I should do the same because they're crossing your path for some reason. And I'm pretty sure it's not just half ice cream. But speaking of ice cream, I've seen so much ice cream today. Mm.
That's one thing I don't care for. Maybe because when I went to high school, I put myself through school by dipping ice cream at Friendly's.
Oh, did you?
I did. And that was it for me. After like 4 years of doing that, I don't even have ice cream in my freezer.
Like this one right here. Archangel Raziel was the angel named... Raziel's name means secret of God because he works so closely with the Creator that he knows all the secrets of the universe and how it operates. And Raziel wrote down all these secrets in a tomb of symbols and divine magic called the Book of the Angel of Raziel, which actually he also helped, if I'm not mistaken. After Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, Raziel gave Adam the book for guidance about manifestation in God's grace, helping him along the way of actually getting back to where he had just basically knocked himself out of. But it's kind of funny because we're sitting there. It's amazing how some people have a tendency to look at the ideal, and I've done this before, where I've been in situations where it's amazing and people's prejudices about certain things, okay? For example, I'm at a freaking Shell gas station. I'm in a freaking line waiting to use the bathroom. Okay, it got to a crucial point where I can't wait no longer. So I went behind the freaking gas station, found a nice secluded place between two sheds that nobody could see me, because there was just no way I could wait behind these five people. So I was like I tell everybody else, you don't sit there and pee your pants and go, oh, golly, you say, I need to find a freaking solution. And then you find the solution and do it. It's amazing how these people, as I call them, being really human, that they have a tendency to jump on those things. So I went to between these sheds, did what I had to do, came back out, and this lady sees me come up the aisle, and she goes, did you do what I think you did? And I was like, lady, I've got to go. I'd love to have this nice debatable spiritual conversation with you, but I can't do it right now. So I got to go. You know, this lady calls the cops and said this guy was doing something. And I said, no, I wasn't. I was actually completing a solution to a situation that needed to be done. It was just a bodily function that needed to be taken care of. This lady here takes it one step further because she's so caught in the worldly way of doing things that she thinks someone has done something wrong. But if you really examine this woman's life a little bit closer, you'll find out one thing. She has no control over it. So every time she gets a chance to control something, she does. Even on that little notion, just that one little notion, she felt like she needed to control it. And it's one of those things, I just sort of looked at her and said, we can either feed into the situation or look at it for what it was. I know why I was there. I didn't need to explain myself. I'd already taken care of the situation, so I could have stayed there and debated the whole thing, which would have been a waste of time because her perception at that time just wasn't open up to what really just happened. So therefore, we have to also look at those situations. And a lot of times we'll have angels behind us going, just keep moving forward. There's nothing you can do for this lady because she's not even listening to herself. She's not listening to her guides. All she's doing is trying to figure out ways to control her life. What she doesn't realize that controlling your life is an illusion, and what you need to do is take a step back and realize what you need to do is let go and allow and realize, we said this before, look at the animals. Have you ever seen an animal go to work? Have you ever seen an animal drive a car? But they still seem to go somewhere, and they still seem to feed themselves, and they seem to go forward without even thinking about it. I think in some ways that we would do the same. You know, we do think our minds are more evolved, but still on the same level, God looks over everything, so everything's being taken care of. Why do you think he's not taking care of you? So therefore, just let go of the situation. And the reason I brought the bathroom thing up was God led me and said, you got to go, you got to go. So you did. Walk away. This lady here is looking for somebody to yell at. So you can either stay and let her yell at you. What's that going to accomplish? You're just going to be enabling a woman to keep continuing doing the same thing. So you just walk away. You don't give her any power. You don't yell. That's what you do when you sit here and give into those situations. You're giving that person your power of explaining yourself, defending it. When you start realizing that you don't have to defend yourself to nobody, it is what it is. So I was looking at this angel when it talks about the ideal of the book, and it's kind of a book on the ideals inside and the outside. And Raziel will help you with alchemy. That was actually when he was showing the whole thing with Jesus, when Jesus was born. He was given these three gifts. But all the churches I've gone to, I'm not saying nobody explains it, but the churches I've gone to don't explain what the gifts are. They just keep telling you. It's a powerful gift. You know, it's kind of amazing that you get on some psychics for being mystical and mysterious. Have you ever talked to some Christian people? Jesus was given three gifts. It was mysterious, and it was very powerful and important. Okay, what do they mean? Oh, well, that doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter? Because the person doesn't know. That's what it means. So it was like I said before, I saw a friend of mine. She goes, well, that's being judgmental. I said, how do you know it's being judgmental? I've actually had people go with me to the mall. And I'll tell them what people are saying, and we're like 20 feet away. And then those people come by talking about just what I said they were talking about. So see, the idea of having telepathic abilities and knowing things, you have to trust that you do know. And I understand people say, well, you never know. I can't say it no more, because I've noticed that I do. And I think the reason I do is because it's the idea of having that kind of information that helps people make better decisions. I mean, if you're going by a person, say for a fact that you're going into a situation, you know, if beyond a shadow of a doubt, that guy's going to put a knife in your back, literally. Would you walk down that way and say, well, I didn't know, when you did?
No, of course not.
You see the fact in the situation and everything's going on? I think it's one of the things that for the next 2 months for you, it seems like there's a lot of realizations and realizations and revelations. And the idea of saying that all the things I've ever wanted to do in my whole freaking life, I think I've come to the point where now it's the idea of looking at the list of the things I haven't accomplished or haven't done yet and do them. Because I was looking at Raziel. Raziel's alchemy. He's also clairvoyant. He's divine magic. It's sensory information, manifestation, physical abilities. Sorry, psychic abilities. But with all these things that are happening, that sometimes when we really start looking into our abilities, we don't realize the more we focus and develop our psychic and spiritual abilities, the more it connects us to spirit. Because our spirit, our soul, could actually be classified as being in a different dimension, which is on the same level as spirits and angels around us. Okay, so the more we connect with our spirits, the more we connect with spirits. The more we know what's around us, the more we can connect, the more we can hear, the more we can actually utilize that information that's coming through our guides and angels. Okay? And the earthly, your body, is on the three-dimensional plane. That's why we can actually focus and work on our abilities and raise ourselves to the fifth dimension. Some people didn't realize we could actually do those things. We go to the fourth and the fifth. It's I was sitting the other day going over the 22 chakras that actually helps us as we work with our chakras and get the ones within ourselves balanced out, that we can actually connect with the 9th, 10th, 11th, and the 8th one below our feet. And then we can keep going as these chakras go up a little further. But they're all, look, the energy centers are to regulate energy within our bodies. Okay, but energy can't be seen. It can be felt and can be experienced. And sometimes in certain situations, you can see it. We can look at the sun and we see certain different types of light. But there's other lights we can't see that still also, benefits our bodies. That actually, I think, UV and all those other things, they do exist too as well. Okay, but everything's like on its own little dimensional thing. But they're all utilized, and we're all able to actually use those for our lives. Okay, in the process of doing those things, we can regulate those energy centers within our body to connect with the other ones, to connect with our spirit and our abilities. I just wish we could sit there and realize that instead of sitting there questioning so much. I mean, today was one of those days where when I was sitting in the shop, I could hear more people talking about why you shouldn't talk to me. And I've seen people that are really in the spiritual part of connecting with their abilities, connecting with spirit, connecting with their angels and guides and everybody and anything that's around them. I actually had this nice deck of angel cards. And in the angel card, it's either Healing with the Angels or the Archangels. And what it shows is the name of the card is Support. And it shows it, and on the card itself, the picture shows the planet Earth, and then it shows all these entities around it, ranging from Indian guides, the elementals, that's what I was trying to say, the fairies, the fairy queens and that kind of stuff, all these guidance that are around us, angels, guides, and everything else that goes along with it, to show us on this one card the visualization of what's around us, what's protecting us. And the reason we get ourselves into situations like accidents, the reason you have an accident is because you're on that vibration with that certain situation, okay? And then you have an accident. But when you raise your vibration, it's amazing how people who work with the spiritual realms of developing their abilities to realize they're there for a reason, they don't have accidents. They don't have mishaps happen in their lives. And when they do, they go right to the point of finding the solution and keep going. They've learned how to let go and realize they don't have to hang on to anything. Actually, we were talking about this the other day with Dr. Wayne Dreyer's book, which Heather has it, and I can't remember the name of the book, but it's basically the one of the chapters talks about the ideal of one of the secrets. And one of the secrets in there is the ideal that have your mind open to everything but attached to nothing, okay? And the reason it's so important to do that because you keep yourself open to everything and anything. Okay, because realistically, our perception is always changing. Huh?
Which book is that? I'll find it. Find the quote.
Yeah. Your two green books.
Well, one is at work and one is here.
if I'm not mistaken, it actually might be the one that you probably have at work.
Oh, lovely. Well, this one that I have here is being in balance.
Yeah. Well, it could be in there because there's a chapter that says, keep your mind open to everything and attached to nothing. And then I was reading that whole thing, and it was like, and there's also a chapter in there, I think, in that one, too. It might be in the other one, where it talks about there's no excuse for resentment. So there's no reason for you to hate or have any kind of problem with anybody because everybody is a reflection back at you. And if you look at the other one where it says keep your mind open to everything, then you would see those things and realize they were just reflections of you. The same thing with the accident. When you have an accident, it just basically could be simply telling you that you're not listening to yourself. So you start listening to yourself, because I've seen people do this before. Time and time again, we've all done this. You can say what you want. But as you're going down the road, I was doing this myself. I was going down the road. I didn't realize I missed my turn, but something within myself started saying, you know something? You missed your turn. You need to turn around. And sure enough, I turned around, and I did miss my turn. I didn't even see the freaking road. But my guidance, my angels, turned me around and took me right down the whole situation, got me right back on the path. And see, that's realistically what that's why they're there, your guides and your angels and all those entities that are around you, is to keep you on the right path if you listen to them. Because with our arrogance and the ego having a tendency to be in the driver's seat, we will take ourselves off the path, which we've always been on the right path since we got here. Look at the situation. When you were born, you were a perfect little entity. And from your conditioning and your upbringing, those things changed. So you can't sit there and say, realistically, what are your beliefs? What are your beliefs? Not what your family has taught you, not what your religion has taught you, not what the people at work have taught you, but realistically, take a step back and look at yourself and go, you know something? What do I really believe in? The first thing you're going to have to do is believe in yourself and accept yourself for who you are right at that moment before you can change any of those things that you feel like you might have to. Because if you can't come to the conclusion that who you are and just accept that, you really can't change anything. And we actually had a story where this lady was sitting there and went through a freaking fantastic realization that almost got her killed because she wasn't listening. And some people's karma comes back to teach you a lesson in those areas. Sometimes your karma is really bad and you get shot, killed, and you got to do it the next lifetime. Or you might get shot, go through a lot of pain and go, wow, I don't want to do that again. You have a realization. You realize what happened. You look at the situation. And we all have these flashbacks in those times, too, as well, that we can actually pick up past lives in certain situations when they happen, if we would just listen. And, of course, I understand that if you're going through a trauma and pain and that kind of stuff, or you got shot, you know, you really don't have time to look at the realization. But if you could, because most of those times when you have downtime, like you're in the hospital for a period of time, you do have the time to do it if you would just utilize it. But most people sit there and kind of basically sulk about the whole thing. You know, what did I do? And start being guilty and that kind of stuff. When they would just take a deep breath and go, this happened for a reason, because of something I put out there came back. What was that? And just relax. Do a simple meditation. Just say, I love myself. I am love. I am love. And all of a sudden, you'll start seeing visions come across and tells you why. Probably from a past life of why this happened, and now you've dealt with your karma. You should look at the situation and celebrate, too, because it already came back. You've already experienced it. It's almost like a cleansing in itself. You let it go. And then the other lady I was talking about was a person who was a realtor. Some guy called her up and said, I want you to show me this house. And she was so gung-ho on money that she didn't listen to her angels and guides who were screaming at her, don't do it. She even says herself, as she's walking up the sidewalk, they're yelling at her to turn around and go home. She wouldn't listen. Why? This is what happened when we always say, put money first. You set yourself up for a bad couple of some nasty things that can happen. Because when you focus on money, there is nothing afterwards. And if it's like focusing on money in itself, it's usually done because you're making a decision in fear. I got to have this money. Anybody who says, I have to have money, is making a decision because of fear. They got to have it. So this lady comes up, so this lady goes and shows this guy this house. He gets the perfect opportunity. He beats her up, rapes her. I mean, he beat her to the point where she was almost dead, left her in the house for dead. And what's so funny about the whole story is the lady even comes on the show and says it. She goes, I've taken 100% accountability for my life. And she said, with the decisions I've made, brought me to that point. if I would have listened to my angels and guides, which I didn't, it would never happen to me. She says, am I responsible for this other guy's? No. He's only responsible for his actions. So she's taking 100% accountability for her life. So she started focusing on those things and started developing a lot of things. So those things, as the messages came through her, she not only accepted herself for who she was, she also accepted the messages that came through. And she never put herself in a situation like that again. We have stories like this all the time. I had a lady who was actually, why is it so important to have an out-of-body experience? A lady was actually at a party, and some people, some guys had actually overpowered her, and they raped her. What she did was she took a technique that she learned and took herself out of her body spiritually and watched it. She said she was in a corner in the top of the ceiling watching this all happen. And she said, I'm glad I did this because I could see it, that nothing ever happened to me. It was something happened to my physical body, but it never happened to me. And she realized right at that moment that nothing can touch the soul. The soul is protected. And she was like so grateful that she actually learned the technique of actually taking herself out of the body, or she would never experience it in that way, that when she did return to her body, having that kind of perception, it was easier for her to get past it, to even not even dwell on it at all, because it never happened to her. Okay? Does that make
wow.
sense?
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So we should try to emphasize to people why it's so important to develop your psychic abilities, your spiritual abilities, because it just makes life easier. You know what you're going into, and you also know that you don't have to go into anything and do anything you want to do. And it seems like things start happening to a point where they start just gravitating to you because you changed your perception. You've taken responsibility of your life and realizing the reason your life is the way it is because of the decisions you have made, nobody else. There was no substitute hanging in that day. It was all you. But also, I like this one where I sit and say, you know, all those things you think that you're a fault, you're right. All those great things you did too, those were your fault too. So which ones which faults did you want to hang on to? The positive ones or the negative ones? And it's the idea. It's like the idea of the realization, saying, okay, I went through all this bad stuff. Okay, great. Okay, you're here. You're talking about it. You've come with the realization. You know what's up. So why are you still hanging on to it? Those are some of the questions you have to ask yourself and say, yeah, why am I hanging on to that whole thing? Because realistically, all those things that you're seeing in your head are just thoughts. Because those experiences that happened to you, they don't exist anymore. The only reason they exist is because you allow them to exist, to keep going through your head, to keep driving yourself nuts. So you have to stop and go, hey, man, and talk to yourself and say, why am I doing that? Why am I torturing myself? Why can't I clear all that space out? Because I can feel, that's why I've had people do this lately too, I can feel something's going to happen. Why isn't it happening yet? There must be something still occupying a space that needs to be sent down the road. That's what it is. And sometimes I tell people, it's a psychic, I can't pick up on it. Why? Because it's a realization you have to go through. You have to experience in a spontaneous way. So that's another reason for you need to understand why it's so crucially important to know that you have abilities and basically develop them. So when you put yourself in these situations, you can open up and release and release the whole thing so simple that you get the answers very quickly. And your life will change just as that quick. Boom, boom, I'm done. Do we have to sit here and still learn on some things? Yes, because we're still here. We're still learning. But see, the one thing I would like to emphasize to people in the idea of learning, okay? Learning has to do with everything, okay? You can't learn to love until you let go. And love is not important unless you give it. And the idea of being in a relationship is not the idea of obtaining a person or putting a person in empty space. It's the idea of looking to open yourself up and let down the resistance so I've come to a point in my life I want to share my life with somebody else. I want to share a moment, and hopefully it turns into many moments. See, we can actually sit here and talk this way and not even mention the word relationship, because why? It's like your freaking electric bill. Did you need someone to remind you that you have an electric bill? No, you don't, because you know it's going to come every month. It's the same thing with relationships and who you are. You don't have to justify this to nobody. Nobody. You are who you are. Doesn't matter if you're the meanest person in the world. You are who you are. I've had a lot of couples with relationships too, and the guy, she'll sort of go, this guy's mean. Maybe that's who he is. Are you really in a position where you deserve for him to change for you? I think he should change because he wants to, because of who you are. And see, if you don't sit there and embrace who you are, what is he going to have to go with? He's going to see you as insecure as he is. So nothing's going to happen here. If anything, two people are going to go separate ways. But see, the more you work on yourself and you see focusing, okay, who am I? Oh, I like that. And we start looking into certain little aspects and situations. And I guarantee when you start looking at who you are, who the essence of you, who you are, you'll find out a Taurus is 10% of who you are. If that, maybe 1%. Okay? It's something you understand that actually sends you into the direction of finding out more little aspects about yourself. And if two people, when they cross paths in situations and that kind of stuff, they would, if they would learn from the reflections and really open themselves up to learning this, you know, really getting to know this person's going to reflect back at you on more things and more aspects of who you are. So it's a learning experience for both of you. That's the ideal. You have more things to learn. We're constantly learning everything. That's because we're progressing beings, and we're going to keep doing this lifetime after lifetime, and even within their lifetime, there's experiences after experiences, moments and moments and moments. That's the reason I started doing angel card readings as in the way I do. When you build pyramids, it's like building your life, and it's showing little aspects of your life. But it also shows those connections within there, too, as well. When two cards or three cards connect, it tells a story. When two people connect, it tells a story. And if two people are listening, they learn a lot of stuff. And the more you learn about somebody else, the more you learn about you. That's what it's all about. We're all reflection. Why would we reflect each other if it wasn't the idea of learning and opening up and experiencing things, not just with people, but also looking at ourselves and the idea, what is happiness? And we start opening up different doors, different avenues, and start realizing happiness is not just a state of mind at one point. It's many moments and many states of mind. So if you didn't catch that, guys, go back in the archives. I'm just saying, when we go with the message, it's one of those situations that just came like almost like a roaring river to me. It was very flowish. And I'm just saying, when the situation is, my thing right now is a passion of looking at people. What I really want to do with what I do is the idea of helping people realize that every person, situation, entity, whatever it is, it's a relationship. And mm-hmm. It's amazing when we're in friendships and we're in work and that kind of stuff. We don't walk around going, this is, I'm, you know, I have a relationship here. We don't do that. So it's like the idea of looking at people and ask yourself, why do you do that with relationships? Why do you sit here and look at people and say, well, you know, don't expect anything? You know, most people who say don't expect anything just experience something. And it's one of those things they're trying to, like, tone you, you know, so I'm going to tone you down until I can resonate with what just happened. And then when I figured out what just happened, then we'll go a little bit further. They don't realize at that moment, if they were never a controlling person, they just controlled an aspect of pushing somebody back until they could figure out what they were going through. When they should realize that experiences is like a waterfall. It never stops. So you should let yourself go, keep going forward and forward and forward. You know, even when I've seen people in situations of going off of waterfalls and going down rivers and that kind of stuff. And the reason people use the idea of the river itself, because realistically, every time you go canoeing, it's like the first time you go canoeing. You never know what to expect.
Right.
And it's also one of the most funnest experiences you could ever have. And it also gives it the insights. That's what life's about. Okay? And we were sitting here talking about the idea, Heather brought this up, and said, okay, do we have a tendency to bash Christians? No, we have a tendency to bash people who want to sit there and use the title Christian and the idea of showing us how much they just can't love. And they'll even justify it. You know, you've never experienced true love because you're human and you never can. And I'm sitting there going, please go away. Because some of the things I've experienced with people really defies that. You know, I've done readings before in my little shop to the point where I was walking out where I felt like my feet were like a foot off the ground because I felt like we were surrounded by angels and entities and all this positive energy because of what happened in that shop. Okay, and then a Christian comes by or a person who claims to be one. We'll go that route. Because I've seen some really people that are really Christian that I love having around because they're very loving people. They have a little slightly certain things they do and that kind of stuff. But, you know, we have to look at the idea of the source it came from. And I was sitting there talking, so I was sitting there going over the things and stuff, and I have this humongous experience where we all come out of this freaking shop, and you just could feel the energy. You could feel the angels around you. And the lady that I actually had in the shop was a Christian. And she said, I love coming here. I was kind of like hesitant about coming here, but she really opened my mind and showed me something totally different. That I've always heard about angels. I've always heard about the spiritual stuff, right? Today I experienced it. And that's the difference in the situation of wanting to take those moments to everybody, to help everybody experience just that. So therefore, they can, first and foremost, you can go, God exists. Angels exist. Because you can't sit here and say angels exist if you can't say God exists. Because it's actually been said that there's an angel conceived for every thought that God conceived. That's a lot of angels. But when you sit here and look at the situation and look at these experiences, it's amazing how people don't want to experience those things to the point where they tell themselves, I don't want to be, they might as well just say they don't want to be happy. And that's what I see all the time. And yes, it is a challenge with some people that to find ways to bring them into experience. Not to sit here and do things. Because that's one thing about spiritual people. Spiritual people want to share and experience things with you. Some of the people that I've actually encountered who have the Christian name or using the Christian title, they're using a title for one, and they're always trying to convince me, which most of us see as something being forced down our throats. You know, spiritual people say, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and we're both right. Christians say, you know, you're wrong. They have that right and wrong thing going on. And I do believe that good and evil does exist, positive, negative. But the idea of right and wrong, I think it's the idea of choose a path, go down the path, learn what you got to learn, and that's it. Was it a wrong path or a right path? How can you sit there and distinguish that? Was it right or wrong? Because I guarantee you, no matter what choice you made and what path you went down, you still learned something, even if it was just the ideal you went down the wrong path, you know? So
right.
We have to look at these
right.
situations. So what's going on right now with our lives? As in, I've seen this a lot too here lately too. People are going through a lot of realizations. Some people, it depends who you talk to. I've seen this on the internet where people are talking about 2012 was a reflection year and 2013 will be a clearing year. I'm sorry, but 2012 felt like a clearing year for me. And now it's one of those things of there are certain things that have been cleared out that I would sit there and say are kind of circling around that you got to watch out for. They want to reattach themselves to you. So you have to watch out for those things. And I think this year is the ideal that if we start focusing on exactly what we want, need, desire, and really take some time to actually establish what that means. Not what the world tells you, because right now the government's telling us all kinds of stuff. And I can't do that anymore. Because first and foremost, most people that are in the government right now are actually people that I would not even want to associate with if they're in the right. So I can't see them as friends. I've tried to look at the situation and go, they are who they are. It's working in some sense, the word, but I've also realized one thing. In the realization of who people are, I've also realized that doesn't mean I have to associate with you. It just means I understand who you are. I don't have to condone what you do, but I can actually sit there and say, I know who you are. And I actually had a book I'm going to get back again. I let someone borrow it, where there's a meditation in there where it talks about today I send love to this world. I don't care who you are or what you've done. I'm sending love to everybody. Okay, so therefore, I have a tendency to use that meditation quite a bit. And but does it really counteract the idea of what's going on out there? Some days I can see it, but we also have to realize that we also are dealing with individuals, so the governments can be persistent. And it's like I saw this, and there's a lot of things going on as injustice. And I think the quickest way to cure or to correct an injustice is to keep your perception straight of what you see instead of allowing someone else to take their perception and force you to see what they're seeing. So you got to keep strong on your perception. And then actually, Dr. Wayne Drybrooks, he talks about the same thing. In the process of manifestation and doing spiritual work, keep it to yourself. Unless you but he says if there's couples, it's the ideal couples that are on the same page and on the same mindset, they can share those things because they actually have greater results, fantastic results, because they can find the energy. But at the same time, and the things you're trying to create, you don't need to tell anybody. It's the idea of not putting yourself in a situation of allowing your ego. And to realize, that's what I said before, you have to defend yourself. You have a thing you're doing. You have a project. You have these goals that you want to accomplish. You don't have to tell a soul. I guarantee you, if you don't tell a soul, it'll happen a whole lot quicker. Because you have to deal with everybody else's energy. Because people are going to give their opinion. And sometimes people give their opinion without even saying a word. You have to sort of look at that too. But see, that's one of the things we've been doing a lot of shows on, changing your thinking and changing your life. And I think it's the idea of perception is the key. And actually, when I was focusing on writing a book, a friend of mine came to me and says, you should either write a book about perception or at least put it in the chapter in the book to help people realize that you cannot do anything beyond what your perception tells you can. So there has to be some working with that. And we've actually done some fantastic work with chakra clearings and getting things out of your aura, lights, meditations, grounding, so people can actually see these things too as well, and they can change them a whole lot quicker. And the idea of manifestation. Manifestation is something that's an energy. It's an invisible. And it's the ideal. It's like going to a company where they manufacture things. You know, they have the conveyor belt and the manufacturing thing. So something goes into the machine and then comes out the other side, something else. It's the idea of looking at your life like that. Okay, this is you going into the first part of the machine to change your life. In the process of going through this machine, the machine has to also be up to par. It has to be perfectly running too as well, which is your body. Okay, so you get all those chakras lined up, you get your body clear, you get your focus, you work on your abilities. So all you can see, and plus you can see it, therefore you can keep your thoughts straight too as well, keep them very positive. And you can conceive exactly, because it's amazing how when you take the time to sit down, we could actually really just focus on things and say, okay, this is what I want. Because a lot of people do this anyway. And the reason they don't give them the time to actually focus on what they really do want is because they're scared what people are going to think. Or they're thinking their family is not going to like them. You know, if I do this, my family's going to disown me. Well, maybe some days you got to go look at your family again and go, is that really a bad thing? You might come up with a different idea or realizing that you're using it as an excuse not to really put yourself where you really want to be at. So therefore, we do know what we want, need, desire. It's just the world has a tendency to kind of like mingle it up. You know, a little bit of truth. You've seen people do that, a little bit of truth, a little bit of lie, and they go, I'm good. Because it's like the term called comfortable. I'm comfortable, I'm good. I think we should be in this life right now where we're never comfortable, but happy. Because we're constantly experiencing more things day after day after day after day. And the day you stop experiencing is the day that you go on to the next level. Because you have different things to experience more in the spiritual level. It'd be kind of great to watch people, if we could actually have a camera, right, when someone dies and see where they go. To sit here and see that, we might actually see that we're seeing a glimpse of it when we dream. Some people say that when you're dreaming, you're in a different life. And then when you are awake, you're in this life. So it's the ideal, taking those two lives and putting them together to realize they're telling us about each one of them, how to experience both levels at the same time, be more productive. Because we're more productive of actually learning more from our dreams. It makes us more productive in our life, in our awake life, and how they work together. So that's why I guess it's one of the things, too, looking at our abilities in the same way, except for we're awake in the process of using these abilities. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Unfortunately, like I half the time I don't remember my dreams, so I couldn't even analyze them, even if I did remember them. And then if I do, I don't remember the details. I just remember the bigger picture of it. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't know how to analyze it. So I, you know, sometimes I'm like, I had a dream last night, but I don't remember. And then throughout the day, something will come up, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like last night I had a dream about my son, like around the age of 8. You know, he's 13. So it's kind of like, huh, like what does that mean?
Well, sometimes the figure 8, did you say an 8?
Yes.
Okay, the figure 8 means infinity. It also means the ideal of love itself. It's like when you take two circles and put them together, you get a figure 8. If you look at the mm-hmm. ideal of how people love themselves unconditionally, they create that cycle within themselves. And then they attract another person who does the same thing. And then when you bring those two people together, those two cycles connect, which creates an 8. But it's also showing how the energy goes back and forth between the two of them. This is what we call unconditional love.
Oh, wow. Okay, it makes sense.
Well, it's like looking at people and saying, okay, if you have that kind of conviction, let's put it this way, if you have that kind of love for somebody else, how could you ever put yourself in a situation of doing any wrong to them? So see, it's crucially important for someone to love themselves, because the more you love yourself, you see people. You see the best in people. And you see that even when they do mean things, you can understand why. That's what I'm saying. You can see all these things. And it's like I was telling a friend of mine, it doesn't show me as a less loving person just because I don't want to associate with them. It could also mean that they're not even supposed to be a part of my life, except for what I saw at the moment.
Right.
And that's the thing, and that's the key to everything we're talking about, and the ideal of manifesting what we want. But we have to have that strength within ourselves to do that. I've seen people do that. They'll get angry with themselves and say, okay, I want to do this today. And then it doesn't happen, but they've also done the work. So they sit there and say, okay, it didn't happen. What did I do? What did I do, or should I do, or should I redo the whole thing or revamp it, whatever. So then they go back over it to the point where they'll even declare it and say, this is what I want to do. And they'll start seeing changes very quickly. It's just the ideal of getting your mind in there. Change your thoughts. Because they could have been sitting there and saying, I want to do this. But in the back of their mind, there's a little bit of doubt, the subconscious going, do you really? Remember what happened last time you went out there and tried to do what you really wanted to do and you failed? See, that's the ego kicking in. Using your subconscious against you because what's in there. Okay, see, when we clear things out if we clear ourselves and let go of all our baggage, the ego has nothing to use against us. So that little inner voice that we hear would do nothing but encourage us to keep going forward. But if you look at the situation by not doing the work, we're giving the ego ammunition to work against us. So this is another reason, too, when you sit here and we do past life stuff. And I've had a lot of people say, well, I don't know why this happened or why I attracted this in this lifetime because I can't find it. So then we have to go back to another lifetime. So it can actually be used for therapy. And basically, when I do this stuff in my shop and I work with people anyway, that's what it becomes. It's a learning situation of teaching people about themselves to realize the things that they're doing. You know, when they're doing these things, it can drive you nuts. But at the same time, what I mean by that drives you crazy. People sit there and go, well, this is kind of crazy. This is not easy. Okay, really? Well, if you keep saying those, that's the ego right there talking to you and saying, you know something? This is hard. This is not easy. You can't do this. Why would you even want to do this? That's when I sit there and say, okay, do me a favor. Shut up. Because I do want to do this. I do want the changes. I knew who I am, and that's what I want to live. Not what the ego keeps telling me I can't. So therefore, we can't get rid of the ego because it's a part of the human concept. And that's what I'm saying. We have to get the spiritual and the physical in balance, which means the ideal of listening to your abilities and the ideal of connect with your angels, listen to the messages, and start really using the information you have to change your life. Okay, when you start really focusing on the spiritual stuff, which is the truth, the ego really has no energy to do anything with, because first and foremost, you're not focusing on the ego. You're focusing on your goals. You're allowing your angels to grab your hand and to guide you down the path, or even the idea of having angels to illuminate it. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and this is what I do with people I meet. I just met her for 5 minutes, but I still call her a friend because we had a great conversation, great experiences. She brought some things to my attention because I was having one of those days where you're like, nothing's really happening. I'm not doing any readings at the shop. People are not really walking in. Got a lot of people curious and cornered. And I was like, okay, what's up? And then every once in a while we have a little bit of doubt. Okay, you know, what's going on? All of a sudden this lady comes by and she starts talking to me. And we were talking and I go right into what I'm doing now. And she looked me right in the face and said, you are a teacher. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And it was kind of funny because in my mind I was saying it'd be great to have somebody come by and just knock me out of this, because I know it's not true. So that also tells you at that moment too that the work you've been doing has definitely changed your subconscious mind, because it's attracting positive people in the situations when you're not being so positive. They can actually come across your path, snap you out of it, realize you've done the work, you're still in that positive state, and realize it's just one day out of 365 days. Like the other 365 days would probably be fantastic, awesome. But it also has a tendency to show you that you're a little bit of doubt that you're having. You're still having great experiences and you're still learning. So it was a great day.
Right.
And we have to look at those just like that. So that's what I did. But I've had that from time to time where people will come in and they'll tell me flat out, you're destined, you're, this is what you're supposed to do. You're fantastic. You're awesome. But it's also my job and the position I've been put into to look at them and say, what you see is you. And then it's faster right out of it going, okay, I'm good. I know what's up. I'm listening. And now I'm also being a great example because what I just said to her or him as saying, you're fantastic because you can see my awesomeness, you're also seeing your own. So that also reflects back to me as a message and saying, you're in a good place. You're a good example. So keep going. Not an ego thing. It's not an ego thing at all. It's the ideal of just acknowledging and accepting myself for who I am, because at that moment I was feeling a little down. I wasn't. I was feeding into a worldly thing, or maybe a couple of people would come by and said some not so nice comments. So it helps you to, like I was talking about, the other chapter was talking about there's no excuse for resentment, even toward yourself, to realize that when you're resenting something, you're not learning from it. You're actually refusing to learn from it. So when you step back and look at the situation, you go, you're right, there's no justification for my resenting anything, even myself. It's an experience to learn. And then right there, I just learned something by taking those steps back, looking at the situation and go, okay, well, you know, I used to do this with hitchhiking, where I would sit here and say, okay, God, where are we going today? And I think we all have to do that with everything that happens. Even with these down periods, we sit here and go, okay, God, I've brought myself down, so where are we going from here? Okay, and allow that to pull you out of the situation you're in, to realize all the things, all the positive things that happen. Maybe you just need to sit there and go, I'm grateful for everything I have. I'm even grateful for this moment because it brought around a realization that helped me out so much, and hopefully it helps other people too.
Wow.
Are you? Yeah.
Wow.
Are you in a relationship right now?
Not really.
I was trying to distinguish, right?
Go ahead. Sort of, but not really.
Yeah, because when it picked up on it, when it came to me, it was iffy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I said, she's in an iffy kind of situation. An iffy situation needs to get a little thrifty and move on. I hate to say that, but see, sometimes when we put ourselves in relationships, if people are going to sit there and basically stay within themselves and, like, say, for example, I don't know what I want. Okay, fine. You know what you want? I do. See you later. This is not a mean thing. This is the thing. You're just saying to yourself, I know what I want, and this could be a reflection on this person who says this is not the person for you, but it was a learning experience for you to show you that you do know what you want. So why are you dealing with somebody who doesn't? That goes against the ideal of manifesting what you want.
Right, that's exactly what he tells me. He doesn't know what he wants.
Yeah, so we sort of look at the guy and go, I'm just saying, this is not a mean thing to say to people. This is a realization for him to say, okay, if you don't come up, and say that he does. I feel like he does know what he wants. He just wants to play the game. He wants to keep it kind of like in this little format right now, okay? So I just said, look at him and go, you know something? Can you honestly be friends with somebody in that kind of situation who doesn't know what they want? Because realistically, if he doesn't know what he wants, in the process of what's going on between the two of you, how could you have a friendship? Because it'd be in the same format. Plus,
right.
When you look at the situation, this guy's being disrespectful to himself, because he won't allow himself to experience what he just manifested in the process of bringing you two together. That's how relationships work. We manifest each other. We attract
mm-hmm.
each other. So we can't sit there and go, hey, you know, I don't know what. Yeah, you do, because if you didn't know what you wanted, why are we sitting here looking at each other? Why are we even talking to each other?
Right.
Because if you didn't know what you wanted, I wouldn't be here. So therefore, that tells me you do. So therefore, you're being disrespectful to yourself and not honoring what you do want, which means you're disrespecting me because it's the only thing you can do. So therefore, to have respect for myself, and hopefully you'll learn from me and what I'm about to do, that you'll snap out of it and realize that when you play that kind of game, you'll lose. Good night. Now, some people sit here and go, that's kind of cruel. Why is it cruel? Because you're scared of hurting somebody's feelings who's hurt your feelings time and time and time again?
Right.
You're just taking yourself out. What you're doing is you're not hurting him. You're taking yourself out of the equation, and you're respecting yourself because of a person who refuses to respect himself. See how the reflection works? It teaches us something. You're learning. He's not. And the only way he's going to learn from the situation sometimes is to take the reflection away. And hopefully he realizes that what he... Yes. Just look at the situation and go, this guy is not being nice to himself. So therefore, it's not fair for me to be in it. Because I tell people all the time, if you realize these things and you still keep yourself in this relationship, you have to realize one thing. You're not a therapist. You're not a relationship counselor. You are a girl who wants a relationship. And so therefore, all the freaking work he needs to do, that is his responsibility, not yours. And when he wants to share that with you, and he wants to combine this life like he was supposed to in the first place, then it's your concern. Until that happens, it's not. And that's the big thing I keep getting a lot with women who keep saying, well, what's Joe up? What's he want? What's his feelings? What's his expectations? What do you want from me? And I say, who cares? Until Joey says it, and realistically, when he learns how to communicate, that's probably what his biggest problem is. He needs to learn to communicate his feelings and stuff. Okay? I have no problem with texting and emailing and that kind of stuff. As long as there's a relationship going on. There has to be a relationship going on, too. That these are just communication because two people like talking to each other, communicating or something. But there has to be physical interaction with each other. Going out, having a great time, that kind of stuff. This kind of situation, they're going to go, they're just frustrating because what people really want is human contact. They want to be hugged. They want to be kissed. They want to sit there and look at each other's eyes. They want to have those conversations face to face because they're fun conversations. You feel great when you're with somebody who actually can relate with you on the same level.
Right.
And texting and emails, if they're put in the wrong way, they just make you more frustrated because of that interaction that you want. This is the time we had a real radio
show.
Anyway, go ahead.
I figured this time I was going to stand my ground because it's been going on for 8 years, the same thing.
I'm just saying with you, sweetie, it's not the idea of really standing your ground. It's the idea of saying, you know something? I've kind of put my life on hold because you can't figure out what yours is. Now what you need to do is make a decision to live your life. And if he doesn't become a part of it, maybe it's because he wasn't supposed to. But one thing I know for a fact, if people do not start learning how to live their lives, what are we sharing with each other? And that's the thing. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. I just want to do one thing. I want to make sure Heather's still awake.
Hi, Heather.
Heather.
I'm here. I'm so sorry. I had my phone on mute just because I'm busy, so I didn't want to interrupt. Anyways, I'm here. Hello, honey.
What do you think about what was just said? Did you listen to anything?
I think that you are a beautiful, amazing, incredible woman, and you do not deserve to be put on hold, especially for 8 years. Who are you? Don't let any man do that to you. Embrace your power, honey. It's time to take it on. Cut him loose. There are greater fish in the sea. Let me tell you, there's some amazing, beautiful, incredible beings out there, and you do not have to sit and wait on somebody else, let alone a silly little man who doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, because you say look at the silly old man, or the silly man, when I look at the situation, this guy, it's almost like he's looking for someone to complete himself, not realizing that the reflection he's seeing from you is telling him he needs to do it for himself.
Hence a silly little man, because he doesn't know who he is. And I don't mean to come across as though I'm belittling him. But, you know, enough is enough. There's only so much time that you should give someone before it's time to... Are you making fun of me?
Yeah, because the other day I said enough is enough, and you're like, I think I'm being too harsh. And here, I hear
Listen, I am struggling through my own issues. I am not dragging anybody along.
Saying with this guy, you're right about one thing. The ideal classification of calling a person a man, I would look at the situation of a guy who's saying he doesn't know who he is, then how can he sit there and look at you and say, hey, I'm a man, when he really doesn't really have the right to say that because he doesn't know, you know? And I was just saying, I think that you're right, and it's right what you said was enough's enough for her that she cannot put up with this anymore because she needs to really think of, she's been thinking about him too much. And she needs to start focusing and start thinking about herself. What is good for my corporation? What's good for my company? Because, you know, this guy you're talking about, what is his name? I don't want to call him that guy.
Oh, Merrick.
Merrick. I'll go back to the guy because Merrick sounds weird. I'm just kidding. But Merrick, it's like something I was seeing in the Justice League. Merrick, he flies across this. Never mind. But I was like, funny how Merrick is this person who wants to sit there and wants you to give him all the freaking time he wants, but he's had time enough. And how come, it's almost like you hear a buzzer, right? Time's up.
Yeah, actually.
And
it's like on his terms.
You're frustrated, right? You're frustrated because it's like there was a couple conversations I feel like have happened almost like recently where you're starting to look at him going, oh, my God, this guy's never going to change. He's always going to be hanging on to this, I don't know what I want.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
I've seen people do this before. I don't know what I want. And 2 weeks later, they come back and go, you took off, you left me, and one thing I realized at that moment is I do want you. And I think that by getting to know you, I will know more about me. Okay, that's great. But if you have a guy who keeps constantly, he's not seeing it. He cannot see himself, so how can he see you for the person you are? The awesomeness that he could experience if he just allowed himself to look down the resistance and do it. I'm sorry, Heather, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I think Heather muted us again.
No. I'm ADD really bad, so I can't sit still. So in order to not interrupt anybody, I tend to put my phone on mute and go about my little busy self. So, but I am listening. Donnie was offended last night that I was playing chess while I was listening and participating. But no, it keeps me calm. It keeps me where I get to be. But
honey,
it's time for you to embark on your journey. You have a beautiful, beautiful journey. Aren't you ready to take it on? You don't need you don't need that extra dead weight. Okay. Let me just kind of delve into a very tiny little bit of my personal experiences of most recently. I fell in love. He is no longer a part of my life. It is heart-wrenching. But I am in such gratitude because it was dead weight. I would not be able to accomplish the things that I get to accomplish if he were still here. He was supposed to get out of my space. Okay, that was absolutely vital to my journey. And the things that I get to accomplish here on this earth in this third dimension, even moving into the fifth dimension. So if you can look at it that way and acknowledge the love that you have for him and that it's not a bad thing and how beautiful it is, mm-hmm. and just say that this is not going to assist me in my purpose, and let go and move forward. Donnie,
it's hard after all these years.
I know, honey, I know.
That's too sweet. But you know one thing I want to sit there and tell people all the time, forget the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, forget how much time you put in the situation. This is not a job where you're looking for a promotion. This is the idea of looking into a situation and saying, okay, this is a person that I could have had a fantastic life with. Did you waste 8 years? No, I think you found out, it took 8 years to figure out what you need to do. Okay, some people look at it as being sad, but it's also your path and it's your life. So maybe you need to go through the whole thing, but don't look at it as anything. Like I've heard a lot of them say, you know, hey, I don't want to waste my time. And I said, you know something? Every experience and every moment you have, you do not waste your time. You're there for a reason.
Well,
and when you start realizing that, those moments become more positive.
Very true. Very true. He has added so much to your life, to your learning, to your experiences, and you get to use those in gratitude and move forward. But like I said, honey, it appears to me that he is dead weight. And believe me, I am a huge advocate for relationships, and I don't ever, ever want to encourage anybody to end any beautiful thing. But it doesn't sound to me like it is a beautiful thing. It sounds to me like he is lost in his own little wherever it is that he's meant to be, and he's got to find his way. But as long as you're there, perhaps he's not able to, or perhaps you're not able to be your purpose.
That's the idea of loving. You know, put yourself in a loving state where you don't want to put yourself in a position of people not liking you because of the decision you have to make. I also look at the situation, too, where I feel like there's been many opportunities that you've given him where he can actually step up and be on the same plate as you are, but he refuses to do that.
That's correct.
Okay, honey, this is my suggestion to you, and I am a huge advocate for meditation, obviously, because I assist people in meditating. And my suggestion is to take some time and go into a deep meditation and really search for some answers. And be clear when you start your meditation what you're searching for and the answers that you are looking for, what it is that you're wanting an answer for. Okay? Is he meant to be in your future? Or should you go a different direction with or without him? And really do some soul searching on that, because Donnie and I can't tell you what it is that you need to do. Donnie has some great insight, but in the end, it is truly where you get to connect with Source, and you get to hear your answers, okay?
Exactly.
Because this is very, very deep. And Donnie really has some amazing, beautiful, beautiful answers. But in the end, it's really up to you. And you get to listen to your guides and angels as well.
Yeah, I was such a little bit of a situation that I think she's taken the notion to listen to her guides and angels because she's here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first time. Normally, like you said, like this is not the first time we've gone back and forth and sort of that kind of thing. And this is really the first time that we've gone this long without going back and forth with communicating. And it started for me like 3 weeks ago, but he still couldn't stop communicating with me either via through email or text message. You know.
I'm just saying, with the situation of him not making a decision to follow through with a complete commitment, it's just, I'm not saying to punish him, but you have to sit there and look at the situation and go, I'm not punishing you, but I have to stop punishing myself, because every time you do this and then you disappear or you pull away or I think we're going to have something and then you say, I don't know what I want, that's a hurtful feeling.
Right.
So all you're realistically doing is you're sitting there saying, I can't do this no more. I can't allow myself to be in this position of getting hurt all the time. And when you make up your mind, you'll be good for yourself and you'll be good for me. But right now you're not. And that's why I tell people all the time, take the time out of it. You know, this is not a job. You know, seniority is not going to get you anywhere in this situation. So you just look at the situation. Right, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I tell people like this, what you need to do is look at situations, and sometimes you just got to take it and just get rid of all the titles, everything. Just get rid of every title you can think of. Don't call it a relationship. It doesn't have to be called a relationship to be a relationship. We're not Christopher Columbus discovering land and saying, okay, Spain declares this is mine. You don't have to do that. Okay, it's like the idea of looking at situations. And also I was thinking about something else, too, and that'll help you understand things, too, as well. But with this thing here, it is what it is. You accept it. He's not. Since he can't accept it for what it is, it's like I saw this movie called What the Bleep Do We Know, okay? Now, there's one part in the movie where it talks about when Christopher Columbus came here, these Indians had not seen these kind of ships ever before. So when these things were in the harbor, the reason they looked at these guys as some kind of gods, because their perception that they had didn't have a perception of what a big ship was. So they couldn't conceive it within their minds, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when they looked out at the ocean, all they saw was these men coming from nowhere and landing on their shores. So it was a scary experience. But if you sit and look at the situation of your man, that's exactly what's going on. he's waiting for someone to sit here and tell him it's a relationship, tell him it's okay, because he can't see it. Okay, but in this situation, people have already done that, but he's refusing to accept it. Until he accepts it and sees it for himself, first and foremost, he can't see himself, so he can't see you. Okay? But when you look at him, you do see yourself. You see everything about this situation. You see the relationship. You see what it is. And you're trying to figure out some way to convey it to him because you don't want to make a decision of walking away. You feel like if there was some secret word to say to him, he would snap out of it and you'd get what you want. But now what it is, it's time for you to take that, to take a leap of faith and say, you know something? I got to walk away from this situation because I do see it for what it is. And I didn't put on my list to be with somebody who doesn't know what they want. I actually put on my list that I want to be with somebody who loves me as much as I love them, who wants to be with me as much as I want to be with them. Okay? But he also has to have respect for you too, because I feel like you have more respect for him than he does for you. Because you catch yourself in this situation for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Certainly, yes.
I hate to do this, but we do have some of the people in the queue. But
yes.
Thank
you. It was a pleasure.
If you want to sit here and take it on a private level, you know, contact me. I can tell people if you don't have a great budget or anything like that, just tell me what it is. I can work with anything. But I just think it's one of those situations of taking it to another level with getting some relationship counseling in there too as well, which I do that too much. But then again, I don't think I do it enough. So it's one of those crazy situations for me. But I would love to work with you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, thank you very, very much. Absolutely.
Are you in the chat room?
I'm sorry?
Are you in the chat room?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, if you want the information, I can give it to you. If you were in the chat room, I would just put it in there for you, but since you're not.
Yes, no, I'm not in the chat room.
Okay, well, all you got to do is just call me. I can give you the number real quick.
Okay.
Because everybody keeps telling me I need to put my information out. One who just wants a show. I'm working
on
it. Just messages have a tendency to be important. The number is 740.
Okay.
500.
Yes.
8863.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes. Thank you so very much. It was such a pleasure. Very informative.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was really
you.
Nice having you on the show, too, you know? And please,
yes,
you know, if we
you.
Don't hear from you, please join us again. All right?
Yes, I will, most definitely. Thank you so much.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You have a great night. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Thank you, Heather.
Heather kind of got knocked off. I don't know what happened to her, but she should be back. I'll tell her.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Thank you so very much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go on to our next caller, which is another private caller, 1111111. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. What's your name?
Mary.
Where are you calling from, Mary?
New York.
Oh, so we have someone from New Jersey, now we have someone from New York. So what is happening with you?
Well, I was in a relationship a couple of years ago, and he went to be with his kids and try to make things work out with his wife. Mm-hmm. And we kept in contact, and then 6 months ago he told me he still loved me. And we were communicating, and 2 weeks ago he was supposed to show up here, and he never did, you know. And I kind of, like, changed my phone number and just, like, I'm trying to move on, but we're spiritually connected, and I know that. What's going on with him?
Well, we look at the situation of connecting spiritually. Doesn't mean we have to put our life on hold. And I said, you look at the situation of a person who's still in that situation and reaching out. But you really get the impression nothing's really going to go forward with you two until he makes a decision. It's like the ideal that it's great to love somebody and be on the same side of the fence, but what's the point of looking at somebody and saying, you know something, I'm not going to sit here and wait for you forever while you're riding the fence.
Right.
So you make up your mind which one you want to be on. But riding that fence is the ideal. It's an injustice to himself, first and foremost, but it's the ideal that he's reaching out when he really doesn't have a right to do so until he clears up the mess he's in.
Right. Do you see that happening?
Well, it's the ideal. Like I said before, we have to have faith in these spiritual connections that they will play themselves out no matter what. But what we have to do is let go of the whole thing and let that happen. Because the more we try to figure it out, the more we put energy into to figuring out what we're putting ourselves into negative energy, it has a tendency to keep things the way they are right now, or even the idea of pushing two people further apart. So I'm just saying with the situation of a person, it seems like there was something inside you that said, I need to cut all connections with this person because I don't feel like he's being sincere. And I get the impression your intuition was right on the money and you need to continue to do this. Because I feel like he's going to make a decision. He's going to cut that loose because he doesn't really want to be there. He should have gone back in the first place. You don't go back in places like that. And the idea of saying, well, we got kids. Let's have fun. Let's make the relationship that never worked. Work this time. That's like taking spoiled milk out of the refrigerator and putting it back in there and expecting 3 days later it's going to be better.
Has he tried to call me at all?
I get the impression he has.
Was he shocked that the number was changed?
Yes, he is. You know, it's one of those situations, he does have a little bit of the ego there, and he thinks no matter what he does, you should be sitting there waiting. And I think that's kind of wrong. I think he should also understand that when you do what you do, the reason you did it was because of his actions or lack of. You're just basically following through what he already put out there.
Right.
That you're not going to put up with it. And that's what you should do. You should continue with that. Because I feel like he will get the message, and I feel like he will change things around, and he will come back. But he'll be alone. So therefore, you guys can actually have something. Till he does, you won't. It'll always be this back and forth thing. So why not stub it now? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Will it be soon?
It could be as quick as the latter part of June. If you stick to your guns and don't communicate, okay?
Okay. I did just reach out to him on Facebook to see if he was okay, because I feel like he's drinking again or on the way to. We're both in recovery.
I get the impression you should listen to your intuition. It'll tell you exactly what he's doing. I'm just saying, I would cut off all communication, and I feel like you'll get a different reaction from him the latter part of June. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
You have a great, great weekend, okay?
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Let's see. Let's go on to our next caller, which is 917. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
917. How are you? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Tina. I'm calling from New Jersey.
You're talking from where?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
Oh, another New Jersey caller. And what's your name?
Tina.
Now, your name is Tina, too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously, our first caller, her name was Tina from New Jersey.
Oh, I didn't even hear it. Yes. I'm calling because I wanted to know, what do you get from my boyfriend, Michael, in our relationship?
Okay, with the situation you and Michael, what is actually going on right now?
We're okay. I just wanted to know what you get.
No, I was just trying to get some energy on the whole thing because, first and foremost, I'd like to know your boyfriend's name. Your name is Tina,
Michael.
And his is Michael. And birthdays. Just give me your birthdays real quick.
I'm 11/27. He's 11/28.
November 28th and November 27th?
Yes,
Sagittarius.
Yes, we are.
Sagittarius together. That's got to be a lot of energy. Anyway, we won't go any further than that. We'll just say there's a lot of energy in that relationship. Anyway, what you're looking at is the question you're asking is basically about longevity, right?
Yes.
The one thing I'll speak at the most, the quickest from you, was the idea of letting go of your insecurities. Even the smallest one, the idea of even thinking about, will this be a long-term relationship? Because that's actually bringing to the surface an insecurity that you have from a past relationship that didn't last because you thought it was. that make sense?
Absolutely.
So I'm saying to you, I feel like that one thing, if you correct it, you'll start seeing, I think you do see it. I think it's just like a clearer for you, but I get the impression you're in a, the way it comes to me, is a long-term relationship.
I'm sorry.
You have it. Because we tell people like this, you worry about anything, then you're actually having some doubt about something. Because worry is a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith within yourself. Because you feel like you don't have control of the situation. Not realizing if you just let go of everything, let go of that baggage and stuff, that's where you get to control. Control is an issue. Control is an illusion. The more we let go and let down the resistance, the more we feel comfortable, and the more we feel like we have a place where we can actually be ourselves. Once we can be ourselves, we have a tendency to lose go of the aspect of wanting to control everything. Okay? What's the one thing that's bugging you right now?
No, because he was being quiet. So that's what was bugging me. I've been going on, but he just was quiet, so.
You know, I had a story a long time ago where a girl came to me and said, this guy was being quiet. And I said, dear, you know something? You really need to deal with your insecurities. She goes, why? I said, because he was taking a breath. But you conceived it as something more, okay? When you look at the situation and start seeing things external, that means there's something internal going on with you, okay? Silence. That's one thing I don't like about texting and emails. When people don't respond as quick as we want them to, we think something's wrong. There is something wrong. It means you're being controlling. And you need to look at that situation and ask yourself why. Because once you start realizing, it can usually be traced back to a relationship that you really haven't completely dealt with and let go of. And you'll start realizing that that fear is making you think that you've got to control it because you don't want to lose it, okay? So you should look at the situation and say, okay, since I don't want to lose it, I must really love this person. And that's what you need to really embrace, not if he loves you or not. Because if you can't sit there and look at the situation and say, okay, I love myself, so therefore why would people not love you? If you're
that's
a
true.
Truly loving being, if you love yourself, you attract loving people. So therefore, the guy might be quiet. He might be thinking, but you really don't look at it. I don't see it as a thing. It's bad. I just feel like it's part of the relationship of assessing and resonating with certain things and just doing the whole thing. That's what I'm saying. I feel like sometimes we ask too many questions. Huh?
You see him assessing? That's what he's doing right now?
Let's see. First and foremost, he's a man. So that would be definitely yes. But, you know, when you look at the situation, you know, he's kind of, I think it's one of those things where you look at a situation like you are. You're just dealing with it different than he does. He goes, okay, this is great. This is fantastic. I don't want to lose it. So he's thinking about it. You are asking questions on the other deal, okay, he's being quiet. When you should be doing the same thing he's doing, what do you see with this relationship? How do you feel? Not what he feels, because that's what we were saying earlier. You know, when you start focusing on other people, you're looking for an external answer for something you should be looking for within yourself. That's what it's all about. He's reflecting back to you. He's being quiet. You know, it's, you know, we could look at this thing as simply saying, maybe you should be quiet too. Quietness is still, if we change the word to being still, when you are still, you hear everything, you feel everything, and you know exactly what's going on. So it really helps you out a lot just to sit there and be still. And just resonate with yourself in this whole situation. Hello? Okay. So many people are like popping in and popping out.
That's true. I understand that. You get that he feels that everything. Okay, but you can't pick up anything else of what he's thinking about?
Well, see, the situation is looking at a person who's thinking about things that realistically that you should know about until he sits down and talks to you about them. Are they bad things? No. It's just the ideal. It's a private matter between the two of you, which I get is good. It's just the ideal of sitting down, opening up to each other, and really wanting to take this to the next level. How long have you guys been together?
Not long. Only like 6 weeks.
Okay. I'm just saying, relax and let the thing go. And I always tell people, I've got to explain this so many times, let go and just allow it to happen. Enjoy it, because if you consider the situation and say, have you ever been in a situation realistically in a relationship where you actually have a chance to actually enjoy it without asking questions? or you felt insecure about a person or something like that, or you just made you feel that you just couldn't be yourself to enjoy anything?
Well, this is different because we're at a distance, so I'm used to talking to the person a lot, you know, us trying to see each other, and he's this cool, calm, and collective. So that was, it was just making me feel a little weird, like, okay, shouldn't we be talking more and trying to see each other more?
Well, look at the situation and say, I don't talk to a person and say, you know something? It's not the ideal. Should you be talking more? There's just something within yourself that you want to talk more. So it's something you need to sit down and talk about. I was going to say, sit down and talk to him. Don't assume he should be doing these things, okay? It's the ideal of working on your communication and sitting down and go, okay, I'm going to sit down with you and I want to talk to you because I want to talk to you more. I want you to call me more if you can, you know, work it. And I want to work the thing out where we, it's actually feasible for both of us. Have you guys actually seen each other face to face?
Yes, I went to tonight at his house like a week ago.
Okay, so we're, okay, you're in New Jersey. Where's he at?
Delaware.
How far is that from you? That's not very far.
About an hour and a half.
Yeah, what I would sit here and do is work on the idea of orchestrating more time, physical time with you guys, face-to-face. And I would sit here and tell him that I would like to have more communication. Even if it's just a text in the morning saying, hello, good morning, so I always know that. It's almost like you want the confirmation that things are okay. So sit down and talk about it.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. Since he was being quiet, I didn't pressure him. That's why I was asking you, what do you see? We had a really good time.
Right, I'm just saying. I just feel like the idea of having a good time, I still feel like there's the idea of a conversation. I've really wanted to take this further. Okay? That's what I get. So I get a positive thing out of the situation. So do that, okay?
Okay.
All righty?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a good night and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see here. Let's go to area code 347. 347, welcome to the show and how are you? And what's your name?
Hi, good night. My name is Celia. Beautiful show.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Just speak up just a little bit more. I can hear you, but...
Okay.
I'm trying to see who you are. No, it's okay.
Can you hear me better now? Hello?
No, go ahead. I'm just say it one more time. I heard you.
Okay. The purpose of my call today is that there's a lot of energy going on around me. And I just want to know, do you have any general message for me?
With the idea of the energy being around you, I would sit there and learn how to. I would learn how to actually balance it out. A lot of times, when people feel a lot of energy around them, that means they're not utilizing it right, which means more likely your chakras are out of alignment, or there's some blockage in your aura, or actually both. Now, when I pick up on you, the first thing I pick up on is the orange, which is actually associated with your sacral chakra, which is orange. It's also in charge of appetites and desires. Okay.
Oh, that's crazy you said that, because I have that stone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have that in my navel. That's crazy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just saying, with the situation of getting more information about what the sacred chakra is and the idea of balancing that one out, if not also balancing out the other ones. There's a good book out there called Chakra Cleaning by a lady named Doreen Virtue. And you can actually, last time I checked, I think, you can go on Amazon, and I got mine for $4. It's usually I think it's like a $17 book. I always recommend for people to get the hard copy, because it has a CD with it, and it can actually help you, because they put the meditations on the CD, and there's two meditations, one for the morning and one at night. And what the theory goes is you balance your chakras out in the morning to have a great day, and then after your day's over with, you also clear your chakras so you can actually... be able to actually sleep comfortably and just kind of let go of everything.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was the first one I came up with, Sacra. Sacra, some people have a tendency not to have that one balance because they're not really focusing on what they really want and what they really desire and what that passion is. Like, some people call it appetite, but it's like the idea of what your passion. So it's the idea of sometimes balancing it out also has a tendency to show you probably things you already know, but it's the idea of saying, okay, what are you really passionate about? What are you really desiring, you know, and do it. For example, this might sound crazy, but I've seen a lot of girls that are very physical lovers, but they're in relationships with people where they don't feel comfortable to be their complete physical selves, and it sends a ripple throughout their whole life, which is also associated with your sacral chakra of not being able to actually follow through with an appetite or a desire. Okay, so those things do have an effect, and they send a ripple through your life. If you're compromising in one area in your life, you have a tendency to compromise in other parts too as well. So you have all this energy around you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right. No, I'm sorry, because, you know, just hearing what you said, I decided today to put my foot down because, you know, I've known somebody for 12 years, and I had to let her know about herself, you know, because it's like I've held it in for a very long time. But now, you're too much now. You know, and I've noticed that anytime when, I don't know what it is, but anytime me and older women get into issues, it's like something bad always happens to me. And I never noticed it until the last time that me and an older woman got into it and something bad happened. So I don't know if you had picked up on that.
No, it's just, I mean, you say it. It's just the idea of correcting those things and say, okay, it's sometimes the idea of compromise means you're not living your life. You're actually living someone else's. And anytime you focus on somebody else and try to figure out what's wrong with them, what's up, what's going on, what they're feeling, you're taking time away from your own self and what you should be focusing. So if a person has a problem communicating, look at the situation and go, okay, how does that reflect back in me about myself? Because realistically, it might be simply that this person is not communicating with you, which means you're not communicating with yourself and actually listening to yourself what you should be doing. I see a lot of people in situations like this where I said, just correct this situation. Just start living your life and doing what's best for you. Because people think that in some ways that's selfish. It's not. What you're doing is you're sitting there showing everybody else, this is my life, this is who I am. I've accepted that. I'm listening to my guides and angels, and this is the direction I should go into. So don't be mad at me because of what I'm doing. Look at me as an example to do the same.
And I noticed that because as soon as I start to, you know, get into myself and, you know, taking better care, it's like she's shadowing me and it's like, you're a grown woman. Why? You know, and then, I don't know. It's crazy.
That's like looking at people and say, okay, if I'm shadowing you, why don't you do one thing, simple thing? Just walk over about 2 feet and get the light for yourself.
Yeah.
Because if someone's in your shadows, it's because they put themselves there, and now they want to bitch about it because they admitted maybe that they're making a mistake. But instead of accepting that they made a mistake, they're going to blame you.
And that's what happened.
It's like someone standing in the shade of a tree and getting mad at the tree because it won't move.
Yes. Oh my God. You know, I've done it for like 9 years, and it's like I wasted so much time. I can't do that no more, you know, because I'm a lover of people. I mean, I like to see people happy, but not to like you said, not to compromise my own happiness, you know, and that is, you know, not taking care of me or, you know, the God within me. So it's like, not that I'm mightier or holier, but it's like, come on. And it's like, you don't try to look at people as a despise or anything.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what
we're
saying before. It's about special, right? We're talking about special. Everybody's special. And just because I acknowledge it and accept it doesn't make you less of a person. I'm just saying to you, if you are standing in my presence, quit looking at the shadow and look at me and realizing what you're seeing as me being special, you're also seeing the mirror reflection of how special you are too, which you refuse to accept.
I told her that. I said, the only reason why you're sitting there like that is because you refuse what God told you. You're not doing what God tells you to do. You're not doing what's inside of you. You're getting up, you're reading the Bible every day, but you're not exercising that faith. So faith without works is dead. You're not doing what you need to do.
And that's what I should say about some people. They say they're Christians, and they know the Bible from back to front. And, you know, back to front, front to back. They know all the freaking Bible and everything. But the one thing they're not doing, because people look at you and go, okay, I know the Bible, I know it, and I know what you're doing wrong. I don't need you to tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Exactly.
You need to take a look at, you need to look at the situation of what's being reflected back at you. Because in the process, you're sitting there and jumping my case and saying, you're doing this wrong. Realistically, I'm reflecting back at you more likely what you need to do for yourself, because that's
exactly.
People get mad at you because of what you're doing for yourself, because they're jealous, because they haven't taken the steps themselves to do it for themselves. That's what reflection is supposed to be doing, like learning about each other. In the process of learning who they are, we also learn who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it easier to love each other. But also the reason it makes it easier for people to love each other, because in the process of discovering who we are and accepting that, we start realizing we're loving beings. So let's say I have an ex-girlfriend that I'm still in love with. It helps me understand, of course I do, because I'm a loving being. I'm going to love that person for the rest of my life. It just doesn't work. We're destined for the same. And I can love her so much to let her go so she can actually live that life, and then I'll go off and do what I got to do. And we should respect each other because we see it, we accept it, and we move on.
Exactly. I thank you for your words of encouragement. I'm going to put myself back in alignment.
If you ever get a chance, you want to do some work and do some private stuff, give me a call. I'd love to work with you.
No, most definitely, because I just started getting into my stonework and whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know they're looking at me like I'm weird, but it's like, whatever. I'll be weirdo all day. I burnt my candles. They call me a witch. Not a problem.
What do they call Catholics? They burn candles all the time.
Candles and incense. That's what I put. I'm there like, y'all don't. What eyes are y'all reading the Bible with? Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all funny.
Oh, yeah, I know. They burn candles, they burn incense in the Bible too as well. You're right. And it's one of the things, looking at things where sometimes I feel like when they denounce psychics and they denounce wizards and things like that, I think that's a human concept.
Exactly.
You know,
and they do the same thing in the church. What is the prophets? What is the what they call the prophetess, the prophets and the seer? What is it? It's the same thing. It's the same
it's
thing
the
these people said.
Yeah. A prophet, but it still has a P. Okay?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Yeah, that's like we said before. We're not denouncing anything. We're just saying that we're doing the same work.
It's
the same
work.
Us,
exactly.
Why don't you accept us and accept them? Because sometimes I look at the ideal pastors and priests and that kind of stuff, and they sit there and get crazy about people and witchcraft and even psychics and people who do rituals. Now, if you look at the church and you ask them, what are you doing in the church with this facade, what you're doing here? And they go, it's a ritual. It's a Christian ritual, so it's different. But it's the ideal.
Yes.
It's amazing how they put titles on things to justify what they're doing in the process of not really saying a thing. It's like some politicians. You know, they sit there and talk for 2 hours, never say a word.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so true. Because when you're at church and they overhear, and they say they're touching you in your crown or your third eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
They transferring over to you, or they even, it's a counter transference, because they even taking from you as well in order to tell you what's going on. So it's like being that we're on the phone and we're vibing. It's the same concept, you know.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
No, that's over the situation.
Don't.
The Bible talks about communion and how it is, how important it is to fellowship, right? And then this lady came by me the other day and was Sarah talking, right? And she said, you are a teacher, you are an evangelist. And I said, yeah, but I don't affiliate to any church or any religion. She goes, that's okay, because you are the church. All of a sudden, it makes sense in the idea why it's so important for fellowship. It doesn't have to be a roof over your head. It's just people, which is kind of funny how Christians have a tendency, they don't really share with you. They pretty much are, I wouldn't say all of them, but most of them have a tendency to push information down your throat instead of fellowshipping is to share.
Exactly.
Maybe I don't agree with your philosophy, but I think we can both look at each other and say we have two different perceptions, so therefore we can realistically say we're both right.
Exactly. Exactly. In the name of love. Because if they say that peace passes all understanding, and the love, the agape love, is what covers all the multitude of mistakes, sins, whatever they want to call it. Why we don't have that kind of love that equalizes bullshit? I don't know. Everybody just trying to be right and be on top of the next one. And they still don't understand we still can't get to the Babel, or we're still going to be knocked down like the Tower of Babel, that, you know, the people on earth are speaking that one language and trying to create the tower to go up to heaven. And then God said that was the wickedness thing, and, you know, scratch it down. Anyhow, I thank you for the conversation. I've been edified. And
oh, no problem. Thank you for coming on the show. And what I was going to say was, if you want the phone number to call me, you can do that too as well.
It's on your website. It's on the thing. I'm a follower of your blog talk.
Okay, cool. Well, sometimes I just, you know, some people just come in from not aware, you know, come from somewhere they don't read the pages and stuff like that. So
I'll
make sure. But okay, that's great. That's great. No, that's cool because I just got done. I just got redoing all those things too as well, putting Heather's name on there too, so we get her information out and people can connect with her too as well. Cause she's,
okay.
Heather's not here right now because she must have lost the connection, and she wasn't able to get back in because right now we're actually in the recording mode of the show, where we're not longer on the air, but we're still recording this.
Right.
So once you do that, you can't get in the show. So I don't know what happened, but yeah. Since Heather's been on the show, it's been a really good asset. She's just fantastic because she actually voices her opinions. I've had co-hosts before, and it's just, I had one co-host, I was sitting here going, I did a reading for somebody, and I go, so what do you think? And they go, sounds good. I was like, okay. You know, I'm looking for some insight here because I think everybody has a different perception of certain things and can see things differently. And the idea of talking to two or three different psychics who are really good at what they do, it would just be three different insights, you know, from maybe three different directions or maybe three different paths to choose from. So, you know, we should take it all in to, in a sense, the whole thing. But I was like, you know, I've had people before they come on the show and it's like, this is just, I want somebody who's going to come back. And if they don't agree with me, to be opinionated enough and have a backbone to say, I don't agree with you, and this is what I feel, because I guarantee you, I'm going to let them say what they're going to say, because, you know, the idea of perception, I can't argue with people's perceptions, because that's what they believe.
Exactly.
You know,
I mean, I was explaining that to my children's grandmother, like, come on, we all can sit here, see the same thing at the same exact time. And the truth is going to come out totally different because we all looking at it from a different light, a different angle. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who used to go on the show too. And Amy, she would come on the show and we would have this debate. And it was kind of funny watching us work because we had different perceptions that would actually end up with the same outcome. So it shows there are different avenues. You know, different avenues. It takes us to the same exact place. You know, it's like going into town. There's three or four different ways to get into town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one could be more effective and maybe not. But it's like looking at those three avenues to go into town and realizing maybe there's a reason there's three of them because there's three different people with three different perceptions, and it makes it easier for them to have those options to get into town. Just as simple as that.
Exactly.
But does it make the other one wrong and the other one right? No, they're both going in the same. They both end up in the same place. So if you sit and look at spirituality and the idea if we would all come to the conclusion that we all come from one entity, one God, you know, you could call him Source, you could call him God, you could call him Jehovah, whatever that is, but to realize one thing, if we're all going to end up in the same place, is it really worth you wasting the energy to prove somebody wrong in the process of the path that you chose?
That's what I say.
Yeah, I think you look at the situation, is it wrong or right? It's just the idea of looking at somebody going, you know, don't sit and say I'm right or wrong. And so this is just my perception taking me in the same direction that you are. So once you get back on your path, live your life, and stop condemning everybody.
Exactly.
Because when you're condemning people, aren't you also missing out on the lesson that you're supposed to be learning at that moment too as well?
True.
And then you're going to have to do it all over again.
And then, like you said, you have mentioned before, then where's the backbone? You know, where is you standing up in your conviction? You know, let your yes be yes and your no's be no. Don't sit here and be double-minded. You know, because then you're showing no stability in your own confidence. Like if you're telling me that what you're seeing is correct, but same time, you're leery and weary, like, I got to stay away from you, you know. You ain't bringing nothing to the table, but more confusion and all of that.
That's a person with good intentions. You know, people, they say good intentions really doesn't have a good outcome because that person is doing it because of they're thinking they're doing a good thing, but they're not living a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, people, Yeah, because if people, like I tell my mom, I said, you know, sometimes people have to understand one thing. If you're living what you're saying, first and foremost, you'll be living it, and you'll be an example. You won't have to tell anybody anything.
Exactly. You don't have, that's what I teach my kids that. I said, truth don't never need no defense. Truth mm-hmm. can always stand on its own. When you put in too much detail, then you're lying.
That's the same thing I was talking about pastors and preachers. Some of the ones who are very theatrical. When you look at Jesus
mm-hmm.
and you look at his life, you don't see those things. A guy spoke.
No, you don't.
He spoke the truth. He created, mm-hmm. and it wasn't the idea to look at the miracles I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody else wrote about the miracles. He was
yep.
busy experiencing it. You know, you can even look in the Bible or you can look at
Would
Jesus.
Would you even say that again? You gave me goosebumps off of that. You said he was busy experiencing it, and a lot of times people miss the experience.
Yeah, so he knew what he did. It's like, how come Jesus didn't go through all the spiritual stuff that we're going through? Because he was already enlightened. So therefore, he was living. Yeah, so he said, this is what I got to do. This is the life I chose, and he did it.
Exactly.
And even there's certain parts of the Bible where Jesus asked God, is there a better way?
Yes, he
but
did.
But he also still continued to go forward. Okay? So it's like showing people in a human state, okay, you can be perfect, and just because you ask the question about a path you've chosen, that you're not really, you know, you're like, I mean, look at this situation. This is like, if we look at the ideal thing, this is God in human form. Okay, if you're walking down that freaking thing about ready to get tortured, this is your first experience of this. Wouldn't you sit there and look at somebody and go, there's got to be a better way, man, because this is going to hurt, you know?
You're damn right.
I'm a human form. Right, so you're sitting going all the things. So you ask the question. But if you look at our lives, right, there are some
mm-hmm.
things in our own lives that are we know they're going to be hard. So we ask the question, is there a better way? Even though we know in the back
mm-hmm.
of our mind. And the angels know too. No. But
mm-hmm.
but is it really a sin to ask the question, is there? I don't think so.
No.
I think, no. I think it's another realization that you know for a fact that you got to do what you got to do. So then Jesus
mm-hmm.
went on. Did what he had to do. It's a perfect example of manifestation in some sense of the word, too. If you think about it, you got to let go of your old life in favor of your new. So there has to be a kind of a death to let go of the old.
Yes.
And then after he came through
yes.
the whole thing, he was
mm-hmm.
enlightened. He was in a different state. And he shows you it's one of the things of looking at somebody going, look at this situation. He's radiating
mm-hmm.
because he's happy. And that's what people do when they actually make the right choice, to let go of the old baggage and stuff like that, a death to the whole thing. And then we look at the situation of tarot cards. That's why they have a
mm-hmm.
death card. It's called cutting old. It's like releasing the old. It doesn't always mean death. There's a lot of people out there that, I always say, watch out for those gypsies. They'll say, ooh, the death card popped up. Someone's going to die here, family. You know something so funny about that situation, that statement? That a person could honestly say that and be truthful. Someone's going to die in your family. So they didn't say when. They didn't say where. They just said it's going to happen. So therefore, it's the idea to learn how to talk to psychics, okay? Ask, because the reason I say that, because the more specific you get when the questions you ask the psychic, it also helps you
mm-hmm.
be more specific and detailed when you start focusing on manifesting things.
See, that's the key.
Because look at you. You came here. What brought you here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things, you got a prompting to come here for some reason, and then when you walk away...
Yeah, the reason was that I needed to focus in on the energy, and you said, go to the root of the issue. Harness that. Focus
yeah,
in
harness
on
it,
that.
Yeah, because you don't get all this energy, and you don't get all these messages, you don't get all that stuff, unless you
mm-hmm.
are able to handle it. So what you need to do is learn how to do that.
Exactly.
A lot of people do that. I can't handle this. I was like, yes, you can. Or you wouldn't be happy.
Yes, you can. Exactly. Something within us done triggered that reaction, or
mm-hmm.
some action triggered that reaction, and you know, like you said, enough people don't like to deal with the reality. You know, everybody just feels so comfortable in the illusion, and like you even referenced, God, Christ even knew in the human form that he had to die. They write it. You
yeah.
die daily. You cannot
people
stay
out
the
there,
same.
Yeah. How do
you count someone saying that you know who God is and then you want to remain the same? That's sugarcoating shit for sugar. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You gotta evolve. There's no such thing as staying stuck on the same, oh, does he love me? Oh, will she marry me? Oh, will I get a job?
Change the question and say, you know, do I love myself? Will I ever get married? Because those are doubts within yourself that are reflecting through somebody else. They might have the answers if you listen. Look at it and say, what's up?
It's all about that reflection. Oh, my gosh. I love this conversation.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Christians do the same thing, right? People keep preaching, and you look at them and say, okay, I'm getting a bad reaction here. It's like looking at them and say, okay, you got a bad reaction from me. How does that reflect back at you about yourself? And then hopefully the conversation wouldn't think of that.
Exactly. That's
true.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to say, I got this other person in the queue. I've been on the show for over 2 hours and 21 minutes, and I want to get this last call in so I can actually go. But in the process, I got to go to the bathroom. So I'm trying to sit here and hold on as long as I can. But no, you're right. I love these conversations when people get the realization and say, okay, yeah, it's simple. Life is easy, simple, uncomplex. It's our perception that tells us otherwise. And if that's the case, then you need to change that perception.
Yes, change that lens and focus in. You're right.
Yeah, turn around and put your ego in the back seat. You know?
But you said put that ego in the child seat.
Yeah, there you go. Put a strap on him, tell him to shut up and say, I don't like backseat drivers, so hush. And go from there. Okay?
Yes,
if you
want
to give me a shove with the direction I've already chosen, then good. Then we're working together. But if you let the ego out of control, he will knock you down. And that's not what it's supposed to be about. It's unity.
Mm-hmm.
Unity is a thing. We have a tarot card, too. It's one of the cards in my Angel of Tarot. It's the ideal unity. And it's what it means. Unity means you unite within your whole body. Like people that are bipolar. I say, stop going to your doctor who's going to keep reaffirming that you have a disease. Huh?
Okay,
the cure is within you. There's an imbalance.
That's what I've been asking her.
Yes.
I've been asking her. I said, you like those pills because you want the attention. Are you looking at your mindset? You would deny yourself food that's nutritious to your body, but depend on the pills. That is the same nutrition that you get if you just take care of yourself. But you want the easy way out.
Change your diet, you know, or just correct it and then look at the situation and go, okay. Realistically, we always go back to the source. Okay, what caused the imbalance within your body where you'd have bipolar and stuff? You did. Teach people what does it mean to have an imbalance in your life. It's the idea of looking at, we've talked about this before too, the Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. You know why?
Yes.
Because in the process of giving, the receiving will take care of itself.
What you say.
But they both have to be in balance. You have to be open to receive.
Yes.
But we don't get anything if we don't give anything. We actually get back
exactly.
What we give out in that situation, which is nothing. I've had a couple of readings with some girls who keep saying, I keep giving this guy everything, but he gives me back nothing. Then we start looking at the girl who says she's been giving everything, but her motives is what the problem is, because the only reason she's giving is to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She doesn't love that guy, but she gives him everything he wants because of her own fear.
Just to say that she has him, exactly.
And the reason he doesn't give her back anything because she's not really giving him anything.
Exactly. It wasn't worthy. The giving wasn't worthy and the receiving wouldn't be worthy. I understand now.
Because I know people do the same thing. Like the balance between giving and receiving has to be balanced, which means you've got to give and receive. Okay, when you sit there and look at the ideal of being and doing. Okay, being and doing, how you balance it out. The simplest way to balance this out, being and doing, is listen to your guidance that says do this. But if you don't get any guidance, there's nothing to do. But just be, because you've already put it out there.
Just be.
Be patient and come back. So you create the balance between the two. It's the same thing with structure and flow. Structure and flow work really well. It's like the river of life, okay? You put the canoe. If you don't put your canoe in the river, you have no flow. You have no structure. Okay? If you don't take the canoe with you, you're going to jump in the river and be all wet and be mad and angry.
Yes.
But realistically, who's the fault? You didn't bring the canoe. So when you put the two together,
mm-hmm.
right, when you put the two together, see, the one thing you can do a lot of things in that canoe. So it means you can make decisions. Okay, but
mm-hmm.
the water and the river of life, one thing you can't do about the river of life is what? You can't change the flow. You have to learn how to go with it. So you create a balance.
That's what I'm saying is universal, right? Go with the flow.
Yeah, that's how you get the balance. You put your canoe in the freaking river. That's the doing. Okay?
Mm.
And then once you get in the river, your guidance is going to allow you just to be, and you'll see by just being, you continue that flow down the river.
Beautiful. I like that. I definitely like that.
Yeah, people always
that
ask me,
beautiful.
Well, people ask me about the show, and they go, do you have a structured show, or do you just go on? And realistically, we just go on. And that's the faith and the trust we have and the angels we have that
mm-hmm.
all together we have a message to give, and people have already come to us and working together and allowing this to happen the way it is. Those are the best shows.
Yes.
We're just allowing.
I'm thankful.
We're letting go and let it happen and just go on. I'm like early in the show, man, I was just like, something just came through me. I just need to tell everybody, and I did.
And I'm thankful because we all needed it, you know. Let it be so. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And love to hear from you. Love to work with you.
Most
so,
definitely.
Let me know. Alrighty.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You too. Bye bye. Have a good
Thank
night.
Thank you. You too.
Alrighty. Thank you. Let's go on to this person. No, let's do it one time. All right. Hello. How are you? This is Skype.
Hey, it's Anna.
So how you doing, Anna?
I'm fine. Thank you. I just like to listen in. What was I going to say? How is it going with you? How is it going with you and
Heather?
Your relationship?
Which one?
I remember I read a card for you a couple weeks ago about the seasons and stuff.
And somebody coming in.
No, it was about a relationship. Do you mind me talking about it?
Well, let me think about that. No, go ahead.
It was about someone that you liked and you wanted to know where, or you were asking, where is it going on a cold, warm, something like that. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. And it was actually the idea that when you hear Heather talking, and Heather's on the show and that kind of thing, and I was kind of talking about her, and then I've kind of let things go.
Yeah.
And if they're going to progress, they're going to progress. But if they don't, I still see a fantastic friendship coming out of it, a great friendship that's already happened, so.
Is that with your co-host?
Yes.
Oh, with Heather.
But
oh my God, I'm so happy for you because I really like Heather.
Yeah. But she's
you
still
and Heather are so great. I love Heather. Really, really love her.
Yeah, but I was saying earlier was she's pretty dead bent on not having a relationship with anybody right now, so. It's one of those things of just having respect for that. Like they always say, if it's going to happen, or, you know, everything happens, it's going to happen. So,
yeah,
have the faith in it.
I just think she's just, you know, she wants to be free and she enjoys you and she doesn't want to ruin anything and she's happy right now. I think she really likes you. I can tell.
Yeah, I know. And I was sitting there going over the whole thing. I've met a lot of nice people, and
yeah,
one of those things, you know, like we always say before, got to live your life. And when people cross your paths, I think they're crossing our paths to enjoy their company as much as anybody else's too, as well.
Yeah, I'm very happy that you met Heather. It's a pleasure to have her.
Oh, yeah.
Giggle the whole time. I
sit here talking about the situation. But, I mean, I don't know how long you've listened to this show, but I've had co-hosts before that just didn't really contribute or even you know, it's like they were just there.
Yeah, that was an annoying factor, and I don't know, that just wasn't the right frequency. I could totally understand.
Well, it drove me crazy. So when you sit there and ask Heather, okay, Heather, I just did a reading. What do you think? Now, there's sometimes she'll sit there and go, well, you know, I'm not really getting anything. Okay, that's an opinion. She's not the person that just says, okay, I agree with you.
Well, yeah. I think I don't completely agree with you. I do remember that she was kind of like doing the card thing, but I just think energetically you guys were not having fun. It was just not a real psychic person, that woman. It wasn't a real psychic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she
then we had that one person.
That was so obvious to me, you know?
Did you notice that one person that was on there for a while?
Yeah.
She had a tendency to belch. We actually had a show one night that she actually told me to shut the F up under her breath and then try to claim that she didn't say it. And I was like, I'm sorry, but one thing I do have is I have a photographic memory. I don't sit here and tell people I'm psychic and intuitive where I don't listen to it on every aspect in every situation. And it was one of those things where I was trying to deal with the situation where I didn't want to tell her. I wanted to give her a chance, but at the same time, something was telling me that I needed to basically tell her not to come back anymore. And then I did the one thing where I left. I had to leave for a weekend, and I decided to let her do two shows on her own. And all I heard was nothing but people complaining and says, never do that again. So I said, okay, we have to really learn how to listen to ourselves, even in situations where we don't want to sit there and tell somebody what we know we need to do. You know?
I just feel like she was living in an illusion. She was not very much present in the reality. I mean, from what I hear, I've heard her on other Blog Talk shows, and when I hear her asking questions to other psychics, it seems like she's in this, I don't know how she's doing now, but it's a little bit of a fantasy land, and it's just too much for her age to be on that fantasy age, you know, get back to earth and live your life and don't hide, you know? Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hope she's doing well. That's all I can say. You know, if she's not,
yeah,
I mean,
she's doing well too. I'm just saying with the situation, I mean, I was telling Heather once before too, I mean, there is a difference between being judgmental and actually stating a fact.
Exactly. But she didn't have that capacity. I don't even know why you felt like a connection with her and invited her over. I mean, I don't know.
We always have a tendency to question things sometimes and go, what the heck was I thinking? And
yeah,
I think it's one of those things it's one of those things where you get into a situation where you feel like a person, you know, I guess it'd be an occupational hazard, where you see the good in everyone. But if they don't want to sit there and to express that goodness, that's the thing that kind of
kills
the whole thing.
Yeah, she's selling jewelry and stuff. I know who you're talking about. I mean, I think you're happy that you're happy now. It looks like you're really, really happy. And looking back, it was like not a very happy place where you were before with that other co-host. So
I was telling Heather. I said, Heather, you know, it's like one of those things that you might think that you're not staying on the subject or you're not, you know, maybe you're doing something wrong. But I said, since you've been doing the show, it's actually more enjoyable to do it, you know?
I think you should just, you know, let it all play itself out with Heather. So far, she's having a good time, and, you know, it's fun to listen, and it's fun to hear you guys interact with each other.
Yeah.
It's so fun to... Yeah, to the way you guys interact with each other, I'm like, are these two dating or not? You know, it's just fun. And
that's what I was trying to tell. I met some people, and they're just like, you know, are you guys dating? Are you guys, you know, engaged or married or whatever? I'm like, you would think so, but I said, no, we're just friends. And they go,
well,
really?
Yeah, there's a lot more than that. I don't think she would be so happy with any other host. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you're giving her the space to be herself, and she enjoys that. She doesn't, maybe she's been in, I don't know, you never know. People change in relationships, and she just wants to enjoy. Who knows? I don't know her, you know.
Well, I'm just saying, most people who want to be free, were in relationships where they couldn't be.
Yeah, well, hopefully she'll wake up one day and be like, hey, you know, get to know her a little better and make sure that this is something that you want, or just have fun with her for now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, yeah, like we talked about before with other people, it's like learning from them too. When you said, when you're sitting there telling people, learn how to live your life. Just live your life.
Yeah.
And the process of living your life is something, if something's going to be a part of it, it will be. If it's
It's like, it's like staying away from the drama, you know, and the believing that that is who we really are, and just being happy with, you're finding that happiness in there somehow, you know. I think that's what it's about.
I'm just saying, well, the situation of experience is literally experience what she's experiencing. Because I met some girl today, and to tell you the truth, this was another awesome woman who, you feel like there's just people in her past who've never let her, allowed her to be herself. And you look at this person, it's not the ideal of allowing them to be themselves. It's just that when the two people connect and you can be yourself completely, it gives them the freedom to do the same. So that's what I was saying before. Reflections give freedom. So you just learn from those things and go, oh, that was really great. I love talking to this woman. And I just, the conversation and being on that same link, and even some things she was talking about I didn't know about, being prompted to actually go find out what they were all about because they were so cool, and to the point where I actually was a little bit of anticipation that when she left, I was like, I would really hope to see her again. And then later on, she texted me and said, hey, that was an awesome meeting. I dig your vibe, and we have to get together sometime. And I'm like, definitely. Because, I mean, just the idea of the conversation, it's like one of those things when you can meet with somebody and there's not a certain tone. You just have the anticipation of just getting to know another person because you had a moment and you want to see if you can experience more moments with that person.
Yeah.
It's just an awesome.
Yeah, and explore what it's about. And I think, like, that's what enriches life as opposed to being with people that just to fill up some space, you know. And I think that's where you are right now, and that's it, you know. That's it. So keep going. And, well, what do you see for me? Like,
I already have enough women. I don't think I can take you on. I'm just kidding. But
could be, you know. Could be your way out. Like, oh, the show is over.
It could be your way out. Okay. Take that driver wheel and see where it goes. Anyway. So what you're saying, you never know, right?
Let you get away.
I have a hard time with the situation saying that anymore. When people say you never know, I'm like, how can I say that when I do? Anyway.
So what should I ask you? Like, what in terms of, like,
anything.
Yeah, I like this guy.
I'm going to warn you ahead of time that we probably have maybe 20 minutes. So I'm just saying, we get cut off, and I mean, we get cut off prematurely quicker than I thought. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'll call back tomorrow night if you're on. Maybe not.
Oh, yeah, we're on tomorrow night. It's Sunday night. We'll be on at 8 p.m., just like everything else. We actually have had some pretty popular Sunday shows, though. So. I like to explore more on the. I like to do some certain kind of topics, but do on the same format. Just throw the topic out there and see where it goes.
Yeah. Do you see me like going to visit Europe in anytime soon?
Actually, what I keep hearing is it could be a 6 months.
6 months later.
But it's one of those situations, it could be in the next 6 months. And sometimes when you get a message that says, in the next 6 months, it could be as long as 6 months, but it could be any time in that six-month period.
Okay. And
it's like a fluctuation of a lot of things going on. And if one fell into place quicker than the other, then it would happen quicker, you see?
Yeah, I'm just a little, like, one of my friends, he lives in Holland, he gave me this reading that, you know, these guides and stuff were telling that I should be moving back to Europe and blah, 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 that I would be more, you know, more, that my life would pick up more over there. And ever since he gave me that reason or that reading, it's kind of been like confusing me, conflicting me, and then I saw, like, my supervisor writing a reference letter about me, and she was giving me all these paintings from Holland. And I'm like,
so
what is that?
So you're thinking that's like a sign that you should, you know, when you look at the situation and you look at a conversation and you had it with him, okay? So you look at the situation and ask yourself, is he a creative person? Am I a creative person? Because we're talking about pictures. They can actually represent the ideal painting and creativity.
Yeah, this is my,
you know,
supervisor. The my friend in Europe, he's actually, that was a real thing. But this friend, she's an artist. The supervisor is an artist, and she was writing a reference letter for me, and I saw some flowers and then lots of paintings on Holland, in Europe, you know. It was just weird. And I'm like, no, in my dream, I'm like, I'm not going there. Why are you writing this? Or painting these pictures. You're supposed to write, not send pictures. And
I'm just saying, you should look at the situations for what they are, and the idea of, you know, sometimes we look at things and say, okay, this is the way I want to do it. And we have to take a step back and look at ourselves and go, okay, is that the ego actually saying that, or do I really want to do that? Because the representation of the dream itself could be the idea of just putting yourself in a way of being more creative. You know, it doesn't mean you have to go to Holland, but there's a lot of connections with Holland in itself. And the idea,
yeah,
of creativity and painting and just finding out what one's talents are and that kind of stuff like that. And I think it's one of those things, if you decide to go to Holland, it would just be simply to make the decision, and it would happen very quickly. If you don't want to do it, like I said before, I just feel like all these things are choices. There's no have to do anything here at all. If you don't want to go to Europe, then don't go to Europe.
Well,
obviously, I have
in my meditation, I'm in Europe, and I'm like, what am I doing here? And it's dark, and I don't like it.
Well, I think the darkness represents the ideal that you don't know what to expect. So you have no reference to go by on how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
And plus, I also look at the situation, too, that you really haven't made a concrete decision if you're going to do it or not.
No, I haven't.
So when you make those decisions, then you probably see more light in your dreams and more detail. But it's also one of the things that it's also the idea, if you decide to go, you should also put your expectations into what you want to accomplish, and then your picture will probably come out of darkness.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm not leaving here yet, because I don't know where I'm going yet.
Yes.
That's probably why.
But I'm just saying, with the situation, look at it, see what you want to do with it, see how it resonates with you. Okay? If it doesn't, if it's something, I'm just saying, it's like one of those things, just clarifying it. Take the next month and clarify it. So by the time June comes around, you'll know exactly what you really want to do or don't.
Well, I feel like I already made a commitment to stay here for a little bit longer, and because I don't want to leave America without having a certain green card or something to come back to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said before, all these things we saw before with Heather, she was talking about the idea of going on this training thing and stuff like that, and I was trying to get her to sit there and say, when people ask you questions, you don't have to tell them your perception of what you want to happen. So you keep putting the energy into the positive aspect of it. And people will sit there and say, well, do you have the money for this? And she goes, no, not yet. But then again, I feel like it's on its way. I've actually had some affirmations I was reading the other day where it talks about the idea of focusing on prosperity and abundance, and it's now coming to me. But the affirmation goes a little bit further, saying, and I will not allow myself to focus on anything else. I just felt like with that affirmation might resonate with somebody else, but that last part I took off because I just wanted to focus on the positive part of it and saying, I'm prosperous and abundant, that's who I am, and it's now coming to me as we speak. I don't need to have that other part saying, I will not allow myself to think about it, because me, and knowing myself, just to have that thought, I will think about it, and I want to eliminate that whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like some people attract money from different sources, you know, they're sources that we wouldn't even think of, and we'd be like, what? You're getting money from this and that, and how is that even possible? And this person is constantly manifesting that, you know. It's like, wow, there's so much out there, you know.
That's right. I was telling people, but too, it's the idea of understanding that you're actually focusing on more prosperity, more abundance, more money. But don't sit here and question where it's going to come through, because if you sit here and focus on what your perception says, I need to focus on the job and that's the only thing, you're shutting about five other doors. Because you just want to keep this one door open.
So, but what do you think about my current job right now?
Well, the first impression I get with the situation can be a little bit crazy, but I actually get the impression it's one of those things where once you can actually focus on the situation and make it your own, then it works for you.
Yeah, exactly. I did make it my own. I mean, I really did, and it worked.
You just wait for everything else to fall into place, and it's one of those things that it's like a transition, and transitions usually, you don't lose something, you just go from one to the other.
Yeah, and this one of these psychics from Blog Talk, she got so pissed off at me. She was like, oh, you know, I've been through this one before with you, and you need to pay for a session. And she's like really pissed off, and I'm like, oh, you're mad, you're angry. And she's like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, why are you answering me if you don't want to? And, you know, being so negative and pissed off at me for while you're doing the show for free, you know? Like, that was so... And she was like, yeah, you're coming from your victim. Stop playing the victim. And I'm not, you know? It was, like, so weird.
What you need to do with that woman is look at tell her, okay, maybe I'm coming from my victimhood, but... What's that? How does that reflect back at you about yourself right now?
Yeah.
That's what she's saying.
It definitely was about her, so I just logged off. It was like she was trying to make me feel down. And I never had asked her that question. She's like, I've been through this with you before. She was like trying to like dominate me, and it was so nasty, and she's totally not enlightened.
She should have took it one step further, because I've had people call me up who have actually called me back and asked the same question over and over again. And what I did was, instead of getting angry with the person with the idea of what they were doing, all right, okay, and look at them and say, well, you're taking advantage. No, they're looking for an answer. Maybe they just don't know how to ask the question, so they keep asking the same one over and over again because that's what they're comfortable with, okay? So I said, look, this one lady, she's calling in. She's like, you know, wants to know about this guy. Is he going to, you know, all this stuff's happened with this guy. And I was looking at her going, but that's not what you're really looking for. And she goes, really? I said, yeah, you're asking if he's going to come back, but you don't know what's going to happen and how to deal with it if he does. And that's the real question that you want to know about. You're almost hoping like he doesn't come back because you don't know how to deal with it, when you should look at the situation and ask yourself, what do you really want to deal with it? So we changed it, and I haven't heard from her since.
Yeah, you see? Like, I go back and forth. I mean, for me, it's a huge, big decision, and it's a way of support, you know, to call in and ask someone, you know, and if they can't deal with it, then I don't go back there anymore. I don't need people to give me an attitude.
I just sit there and talk to them and say, you know, the thing I would really stress on the most is almost all my sessions have a tendency to be more about therapy in some sense, of the way of actually helping people.
Yeah.
Come to terms with themselves. So we ask the question, we answer it, we try to give them as much as we can, and then I suggest that they, you know, do another session in a different format of actually looking at the
situation. I hear that in your show. I feel like sometimes these hosts, they just take advantage of their listeners, and they just play power games, you know, like it's just not...
They should stop looking at the situation of paying money for their show and realize that, you know, what you put out there, you get back tenfold. So what's there to worry about?
Yeah, what's there? Nothing. Well, obviously, yeah, she's worrying a lot, and oh my God, it's so sad, you know, it's so sad. So anyway, I won't call back there anymore, but
I don't realize how much you're actually losing instead of gaining by feeding, because I always tell people flat out, if you feed into fear, you're going to lose. When you feed into the positive aspect of everything, you always win.
But it's also like you either get someone or you don't get their energy. You know, if you don't get their energy, then of course you're going to interpret their question as if it's a victim question. I'm being vulnerable. I'm opening myself up to you. There's nothing victim about it. And she was totally like taking my vulnerability, like my openness, and putting it down. And then I was like, okay, this person is not getting my energy. She's not getting where I'm coming from. Maybe I was just looking for some support, or how do I deal with this situation? How can I spiritually deal with it or see it? You know, how can I get some encouragement or you know what I mean? Like, it was just very, it was just like, okay, too much for her to handle that question, because it probably triggered her own stuff. That's why, you know, you can't take anything personal anymore. It's just like, okay, you either
someone
or you don't.
That's what I'm saying. You should get in that, you should get in that frame of mind, too, that no one, like we were talking about Dr. Wayne Dreyer's book, when he's talking about the ideal, there's no excuse for any resentment.
Right.
For yourself, as a situation. So you look at the thing going, we're learning from each other. So a person is going through a certain thing, that sister is going through it. You just got to look at it, deal with it. You're okay. You'll be fine. But it's amazing how many people sit there and freak out on the whole thing, and then they don't sit there and, I mean, she could have learned from you as much as you learned from her. And all she did was create a void where a person doesn't want to call her back anymore, because you wasn't allowed to put yourself in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
That energy state where you could actually, because you came there to get an answer, to learn, whatever it is. I've seen people do that when they come to this show. They have a tendency to take the same energy to another show and be disappointed, because people are like, you know, you owe me, and we owe you nothing. You know, you came here, we're giving of ourselves, they're giving of themselves, and I think it's the way we should just leave it right there.
Yeah.
You know, what's up with that crap? And then saying, you know, you're doing it wrong, but realistically, they're just being themselves. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not going to call her for a private consultation if she does this type of attitude. It's not going to make me feel safe to call her and, you know, want to have a session with her. I mean, why should I? She's way too overpowering, you know, or trying to think that she knows the whole enchilada. And it's obvious to me that she's just as human as everyone else, you know, and she just thinks she's not. It's just so ridiculous, and it's like boring. You know, you're just passing on the same information that other people have already chewed on. You're just copying that and sharing that with your listeners, and there's nothing new about what you do, you know, and whatever. Everybody wakes up, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just saying, yeah, look at situations for what they are. She actually was not able to sit there and tell you and agree with you, because she wasn't really willing to actually admit anything that she's, the infractions or the situation, maybe she portrayed it a different way. So we have to look at her, too. She's wanting us, she's actually saying, okay, I want you guys to learn. Well, how can we really take you seriously when you didn't learn from the experience that just happened?
Yeah.
Because you look at situations, you go, okay, maybe I did present. Maybe I did go into this and use the wrong direction on the whole thing. That's how we actually learn how to actually correct the next situation, so we can actually do it the right way, in the right direction, you know, or go
well,
in the direction.
Well, I feel like, you know, I felt conflicted that day, because I just feel conflicted, but I have to let it go. I just have to let go of certain aspects of that job and not think that I'm going to be there for life. You know, I'm not completely,
That's true.
Fully nourished. But I can't ask for too much either, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a start.
That's the idea. What you need to do is just ask. I don't think it's one of those things, it's too much or not, because you're looking at the idea of fulfilling a need or a want or a desire. Just put it out there, and the universe has a tendency to correct that, and you'll get exactly what you need.
I feel like my work and what I'm doing right now is just on such a higher vibrational level. Maybe this sounds very strange, but I feel like there are just these, it's just such a low vibrational place where I work, and the kids are not treated well, and even by their parents, and it's just like everybody's there because the parents have to work all the time. So they dump these kids in this after-school place, and the environment is so on, like, not very warm or cozy. It's a very cold environment for kids, and the lighting is boring, and everything's kind of like boring, and they just have to sit there and do their homework, and it's just so boring, you know, and they have to work so hard the whole time, and it's just so sad. They come from school, they have to sit there, do their homework, and then go to another after-school program, do more learning. It's like learning from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Really?
It's like enslavement, and some kids are really, really tired, and they can't listen anymore, or they can't, like, function anymore, and they still have to do a lot of homework. And there's not much time for fun, and I have to teach them stuff and do this and do that with them. There's a lot of pressure and expectations. Like, she'll bring me one child, and she'll, like, make sure that she finishes her homework and let her do it fast and blah, 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 blah. And then she'll come back and she'll, did she finish her homework? And then, or sometimes she'll expect me to have the whole group finish their homework, like in speed, you know? So much pressure, and which is all part of the job, I understand, but I just don't feel like I want to work there in a factory, you know? And
yeah, it kind of drives you crazy sometimes.
But. You know what? I the last time, you know, sometimes she comes and checks in on me, but I give them, like, playtime now because it's too much pressure for them to constantly learn.
Right.
So maybe I'll give them more playtime and during class, or I don't know. I don't know what to do. I have to talk to them, the kids, about it and see what their needs are.
Mhm. Yeah. Exactly. So you just put it together and that kind of thing, and correct the imbalance there if you can. Sometimes you get in a situation where you got to walk away from the situation.
I want to walk away from this situation. I want to be in an environment that values what I'm teaching. I'm teaching spiritual stuff to these kids, like how to create your reality, how to use your imagination, how to have self-value, what that means, you know, how to express yourself creatively and be seen. And just doesn't, I don't feel like I can, I'm val, I just don't feel like I'm in the, like, I don't even feel like I can complain because it's taken me so long to, but I feel like there's more out there for me, you know, and I feel like I can't expand in this place because it's just so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not understanding why I'm having these little frustrations come up here and there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is just not it. I can't just be okay with this for the rest of my life.
Mhm. No, I understand. Yeah. I just, like you said before, you gotta get to just say, hey, you know something?